Hello, guys. Welcome. How are you, Shafir Skeptic Tank? How are you? I'm going to go quick. It's not going to be a long intro. This podcast is brought to you by water. Water, available everywhere there's an earth. Ladies and gentlemen, water is a basic human right. And when you go into a store and say, can I have a glass of water? And they say no, you almost want to be like, oh, I'm going to burn this motherfucker down. That is a basic human right. Go get me a cup of water. I'll give you back the cup. And right now, if you go to water and tell them to use the code Ari, you can get 10% off your water. That's water/skeptic. Ladies and gentlemen, no sponsor today. Patreon, I guess. Go to arishafir.com. No, wait. Go to patreon.com/skeptictank. Sign up for the Patreon. There'll be no podcast next week. There will be a Patreon podcast. It's the first of the original Patreon podcast, the mailbag episode. Also, if you want to ask a question for the mailbag episode, go to patreon.com/skeptictank, and you can use the direct message thing and like put all your questions there. Also, I have up the very first episode on there. It's going to be it's up there, the Milo Yiannopoulos episode about trolls. Listen, if Patreon wants to take down these right-wing people that I don't really even think are that right-wing, I mean, he's pretty right-wing, but he's also just a troll, and I don't think anyone should get silenced. I think everyone's fucking nice enough, and I've met that guy, and he's nice enough. I feel like, all right, well, then that's the first fucking... Before they deplatform me, that's going to be the first one I put up there as a little tiny sign of protest, you know? So if you want to hear it now, otherwise you wait till it's out, which will be like probably late September, probably right at the end of the summer. Another month from now. If you want to hear it now, it's up there. Keep in mind, this is all about trolls and how we fuck with people. How a troll just gets under people's skin. So if you hate that guy, I'm telling you, you don't. You just fell for it. But anyway, really good episode. I've got a couple good episodes coming. Callie Lassen, that one's coming. That's going to be a great one. That'll be in 2 weeks. All right, so guys, today's episode is going to be all about that July I spent off the grid, July and a little bit of August, and just how it was for me, really, you know, just how it was for me. I want to read you this thing. I got to find it first. A couple things to promote. September 2nd and 3rd, I'm going to be in Las Vegas supporting Gary Veeder at the Las Vegas Comedy Cellar. He's recording his album, Vita Las Vegas. Then that weekend, I'll be at the 7th. I'll be at the Borgata in Atlantic City. And then I got a few gigs. Brea, the 26th through the 28th of September. Madison, Wisconsin, September 19th, 20th, 21st. Dallas, October 3rd. Houston, the 4th and the 5th. Oh, Winnipeg, September 22nd. Go to arishafir.com for tickets. I have done my best to fight against any Ticketmaster surcharges there might be. I have failed, but I have lowered them as best I could. I save $1 here, $1.50 there. Sometimes you just got to price your ticket 5 cents lower and it enters into a new category. You just got to be aware of it. My agent helps me, and we do the best we can. They're crooks. Okay, so this is going to be all about going off the grid for that month, right? All of the things I did, kind of what I learned and where I am now. And kind of what it gave me. People have been asking me, like, how was it? And easy answer, great. Freeing. Like, it really just got me to this place of, like, I mean, I did a lot of stuff. I got a record player for the first time. Never had a record player before. I've always wanted one, and I couldn't order it on Amazon. I just went on, you know, to a record store, and it was like, do you have record players? They go, no, try this place. And I went and fucking got a starter record player. And I've been getting records. It's really fun to go find records. I don't know, a bunch of other stuff. I've just had a fun time with just clear thinking. I got outside. I went and did shit. I've got nothing else to promote except September 13th is a day of civil disobedience. Adbusters, the ones who started Occupy Wall Street, it's now calling for a day of civil disobedience. Don't be violent. Be peaceful. But fuck shit up. Don't hurt anybody. But fucking disobey. I'm going to. I'll be out there. I've already got a couple ideas. Even if it's telling a TSA agent to go fuck himself. Even if it's as little as crossing against a crosswalk. Do something. Show that you are a fucking free thinker on September 13th. Okay. Here we go. I want to read you this. Ad Busters, March, April 2019. It happened sometime around 2010, a singular moment in human history. It was a moment we stopped getting angry at people gaping at their devices, bumping into us on the sidewalk. The moment when, with a sigh, your professor finally gave up on that student who, to be fair, was like always checking her phone. I myself remember marking it. It was as though a sea change had stolen upon me. A young man came in for a job interview. Halfway through, his pocket bleeped, and he pulled out his phone and checked it as if it were the most natural thing in the world. It was the moment when family meals grew more distracted, sitting with friends more remote, when your first act on waking up was to check your social, when on Saturday nights it was easier to blow off the bar, teeming and awkward, for the cool thrill of the left swipe, right swipe, glimmer of a chance encounter. You remember, don't you? When you two started walking with your head down, the first buds of spring pushing forth unnoticed, the eagle wheeling above you in the high sky, unseen. A text suddenly as good as a touch of a hand. A selfie as warm as a hug. No big deal, right? A mere tweak, a tone shift. A new ambiance to inhabit. Buzzing and flashing and futuristic. Quite exciting, really. And yet, that moment you lived through 10 years ago was one of the most significant in human history. Indeed, it was humanity's second great migration. The moment we departed the physical world for a virtual one. Humanity's first great migration, eons ago, was our primordial passage from sea to the land. A preposterous success. It set us on a billion-year evolutionary adventure, delivering us to this current day and its attendant wonders. Behold, in mere hours, global commerce delivered to your couch. At the push of a button, your every acquaintance. In your pocket, all recorded knowledge of the world. A shake of the head, a gnawing suspicion. Something feels off. Screens everywhere. Eyes glazed over. The simulacrum of our own devising. The enormity of constant connection. It is, can we admit it? Boring. What if we want out? Want back. Back to the birds, the beasts, the fish. Back to the rivers and wild spaces, to the scent of the ozone after rain. Back to imminence, to roughness, back to physical. Might we then get a shock? Find that the world we abandoned years ago has vanished, that somewhere along the line it went poof? Find that our billion-year experiment here on Earth is laid bare, an evolutionary dead end. Kono Matsu. Ad Busters, March, April, 2019. Number 142. Volume 27, number 2. Okay. All right, you guys, let's start the episode. Okay? It's just going to be about that. I don't think I need anything or have to say anything else. So let's start. Ladies and gentlemen, Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank, episode 364. That sounds about right. Matrix Vacation. Get it? Because I'm getting kind of off. Out of the Matrix. I'm taking a vacation, but I am coming back to the Matrix, but just like for a temporary time, I'm getting out of the Matrix. Kind of like the way like you might get out of town when you're taking a vacation. So it's like, you know, maybe a Christmas vacation, but mine is not, that didn't hold up anymore. Ladies and gentlemen, 364, Chris Matrix Vacation with just me starts now. Yeah. Yeah, it's doing it. I did a search for electric sheep, and now it instantly it recommends two electric sheep videos. It's an algorithm based on what you already are into, for sure. So it just keeps you feeding this. Anyway, whatever. I got to start this off. How am I going to start this off? Hi, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to... No. That's the intro. We're past the intro now. Okay, so where do I start? So I went off, whatever, not off the grid, but you know, I just left this fucking shit and people are asking me like, how was it? How was it being fucking disconnected from all that stuff? It's not an easy answer. It's not like good or bad. It was like weird. There was a lot of different things I didn't expect and did expect and whatever. So let's fucking go into it. So I'll just tell you where I started. I was in Glastonbury. I went to Cardiff, Wales, two nights. Dude, I had a fucking great time. Cardiff was cool. Always want to play that. I wish I was there longer. I really do wish I was there longer. Joe Liss is in London this Friday and Saturday, by the way. I landed in London. He's at the Soho Theater. He's a great comic. If you're looking for something to do in London, 9:30 p.m. this Friday and Saturday. Landed in London, took the bus off to Cardiff. This bus driver just goes, ladies and gentlemen, I ain't going to do the impression, but he goes, there's no drinking. If you drink, we will put you out by the side of the road. Do not test us. And everyone started laughing. It's like, now I kind of want to drink. What are you talking about? Plus, I thought you can drink on like trains in the UK, but I guess not the bus from London to Cardiff. Do you know Cardiff on their flag, on their like state flag? I mean, Wales has the dragon as that's their. The dragon is their national animal. What a magical country. I want to go longer. I really do. Liz is going for like a week after he goes to London. Like a week of just fucking around the countryside or more. God, I'm jealous. But I do fun stuff too. So I was in Cardiff, right? Walking around. I see this castle. I walk into the mainland. They put me up at this hotel near Glee Club. And it's, oh man, and I needed it too. I needed to get away. And it's over this like wetlands. There's a balcony that overlooks the wetlands after a long day of travel, straight from Skankfest, packing drunk. Oh, I didn't even mention that. I packed drunk. Did I mention it? Okay, came back from Skankfest Sunday night. Goddamn comedy jam. I'm naked for a lot of Skankfest. Joe Liss, by the way, is like, you do that. You know, your kind of stuff that you do fits in perfectly with Skankfest. The stuff I do doesn't. And I'm like, no, I don't fucking get my dick out on the reg on stage. It happens more than you, but like, that's not my normal act. I talk about fucking religion these days. Ari Shaffir Jew, by the way, is pretty much finished. I'm touring it. You guys should see it when you can. It ain't going to be around much longer, and I don't know if I'll ever do another theme hour like this. But it's something I'm already like, I'm proud of. I have my Orthodox Jewish friend from Yeshiva come and see me in New York doing it. He pointed out the last two like, ooh, I don't know if that's exactly correct. And so now I've made those fixes, and it's done. So if you get a chance this September in Vegas with Vitor or in Madison or in Atlantic City, Brea or Dallas or Houston or Nashville, you should see it. Ari Shaffir Jew, man, it's fucking good. Adrian Appalooch is gonna be opening for most of those things. Dallas and Houston, my Cowboys friend is coming with me. He's also really funny though. But what was I gonna say? Oh, so I get there. My voice is fucking gone from, I apologize to the Cardiff fans. My voice is gone from Skankfest, screaming for three straight days. My girl hit me with some Molly. She was like, you want this? I was like, yeah, all right. On Saturday of Skankfest. It's just like, man, it's such a fun time. That's the purest comedy festival I've ever been a part of. It's just jokes for the sake of jokes. Louis went up. They lost their goddamn minds as a surprise pop in. You could tell. You maybe couldn't tell. Maybe I'm reading into it. But sort of what I'm reading into is Brooklyn rooms, just so you know, are notoriously like hipster and weird. And they hate me sight unseen. Like, not sight unseen, sight seen. So, like, I went up in Wyatt Cenex's Night Train show, just a live stand-up show. And Marion, the one who books it, she goes, oh, I forgot to figure it off. She goes, I forgot to warn you. They're going to hate you just by looking at you. Just because you're like, oh, white dude, straight white dude, fuck him. It really is that in Brooklyn. It really is a bunch of that vibe. It's not everybody, but it's a lot of people. So Louis's like, well, this is Brooklyn. Of course, I'm telling you, I am reading into it. But based on what I'm reading into, he's like, oh, it's Brooklyn. I don't know how these people are going to be. And like, oh, no, it ain't Brooklyn. This just happens in Brooklyn. It's kind of like the full moon party in Thailand. It's like, this has nothing to do with Thailand. It's just here. But it has no cultural significance to Thailand. The fact that all these fucking backpackers are coming together to do drugs all night on a fucking beach. Anyway, so I'm in Cardiff. I'm walking around Cardiff, Wales, into the town square. Had Rarebit. Still on phone, by the way, at this point. I'm still on my phone. In fact, I'm even one step up. I took my SIM card, put it on my mom's iPhone, had that for a few days. To get there, to get on the bus, to do all that shit. Because my thought was, my group that I was meeting at the Glastonbury Music Festival, they had a WhatsApp group, and I had to fucking meet him, and I had to stay in touch with them during the festival. So I was like, fuck it, let me up it, and then I'll, on July 1st, I'm out. The festival ends June 30th. We all leave the morning of the 1st, and I'm like, okay, I can have that. So, super still addicted to the idea of a cell. Looking at for no reason, just looking at shit. But anyway, wait, what's that? That's right, guys. I'm an adult and I make a living doing this. Walking around, I see a castle, the fucking Cardiff Castle, right? I think they're cool castles because they're old and they have some history to them, but I'm not going to take the tour. I'm not going to pay for the fucking tour. Just, plus, you can go in, you can go through the doors and kind of like look around just the inside before you take an actual tour. So I'm in there. I'm just kind of looking around. I'm just trying to get some food. It's the day of the show. I'm just trying to get some food, walk around a little bit, and buy some fucking camping equipment for Glastonbury. I'm in there. Two fans walk by. This dude and his wife. Dude and his lady, whatever. I don't know their relationship. And he goes, hey, we're coming to the show tonight. We have these for you. We're going to give them to you. We could wait till tonight. We can give them to you now. I was like, what is it? It's fucking drugs, man. So I'm like, yeah, I'll take them now. And he gave me a fucking tin of mushrooms. A little tin of mushrooms, a sticker on it, a little psychedelic mushroom sticker on it. It's quaint as fuck, bro. For the degenerate kind of fan base I have, one of the quainter ways I've got it. I've gotten a few of those too. Fun little packages full of drugs, but the fun packaging is like nice. I don't know. And he goes, this happened to you all the time? And I was like, look, I've gotten mushrooms before. I'm not going to lie to you, but I guarantee you, this is the first time I've ever gotten mushrooms in a castle. And I'm in the middle of it. I'm in the fucking courtyard of the Cardiff Castle. So these are castle shrooms. And to me, instantly, they got some mystical powers to them. But I did the show. It was great. That night, went to stay at my friend's buddy's house. We all were going to drive to Glastonbury together the next day. They're all using my guest passes. Stayed at his friend's house. He has these two dogs. As soon as I came in, I was just like, gave Mitch a dog biscuit, and he was like, what? Do you just have dog biscuits on you? I was like, yeah, they're from before. He goes, oh, you have dogs left in your pocket? I'm like, no, but you know, Manhattan, there's tons of good dogs around. You gotta feed them. Guys, here's my point. Glastonbury was fucking sick. I had some fucking good discussions. I had some real good talks. I got like day one. So you get there. I'm going to do a whole podcast about Glastonbury itself. Maybe with Matt Kirshen. He goes a lot. But it was sick. And I talked to these guys day one, Angus and Chris. And we just talked about, they're both working in advertising and digital advertising. They're both talking about the role of advertising. It's just really cool conversation while we're drinking cider and just kind of walking around. Still on my phone though. You know, I left it in my tent, but I'm still on, technically. Yeah, we had a talk about the role of advertising on like human and societal development. They both work in that field for online shit, you know? So, and they're both saying how bad it is. And they're trying to use it less and less, which is weird because I didn't mention that I'm about to do this fucking fast. But we were just talking about it in general. Chris also had a really interesting point about, he fucking had this weird thing where he said he did way too many mushrooms and he kind of got stuck in this depression, which I've never heard of before. Got stuck in a deep depression for like not a day or two or a week, but for like months. The only thing that got him out of it, he went to work at a fucking sleepaway camp in Maine and got into nature for a while. But he also made this really good point that I never thought about Twitter. Not Twitter. Tinder. He said he felt that swiping left and right on women gave him like a non-appreciative way of thinking about women. Like it was forcing him into a way of thinking like either they look good enough for me or they don't look good enough for me and I will either accept or reject based on that. And he goes, after you do that a bunch of times, it bleeds into the way you really think. So he said he's off Tinder so that he could actually like treat random stranger women that he comes across. Not dating people, but just like people, you know, working behind the counter at the bus company. Like he can treat them now with more like, I don't know, like humanity than before. Anyway, it was fucking great. And we had the whole place to ourselves Wednesday. People started getting there Wednesday night. This was Wednesday morning. It was great. And I start breathing more and more. You get out there and that it's just a farm and it's just so clean and there was no rain. It was the best. It was the best. But so we had a great time, did fucking tons of mushrooms, mostly put my phone away, a couple texts, couple like meetups with the agent that got me there. Got a bunch of mushrooms for everybody. I got mushrooms for my whole camp, dude. I had a fucking good time in Glastonbury. This dude, I'll tell this story a bunch of times, I'm sure. Should I mention this? It has nothing to do with my digital vacation. Yeah. Oh, okay. So I had got these 2 ounces of mushrooms. It was my job to get it for the camp. Other people, the ones coming from London, they got Molly. They got Coke. They got weed. We all put in our orders. I don't even know how much you're supposed to get of Coke. I'm not a Coke guy. So like, how much Coke do you guys want? I was like, 6? And they're like, what do you mean? I'm like, I don't know. 1 Coke per day, and then one day I'll do 2 Cokes. How much is Coke? I'm such a fucking dork. What are the units of measurement even? I don't know how you're supposed to do cocaine. The UK goes hard on Coke. Not like Scotland specifically, but the rest of the UK. They like their cocaine, man. I did it. I've heard it being called festival coffee, which is like a good bump to get you started. So this is my first festival I ever did where I fully camped. I mean, by the bathrooms, the smell was disgusting. One of the best experiences of my life overall. God damn, it was fun. Anyway, my friend Angus is Irish. I mean, like allergic to sun Irish. Did mushrooms for 4 straight days. One of the best things I've ever seen in my life. He asked me the next day. So that group was, we were maybe 12, 15. And they were all, this lady Rachel was like, I think Thursday we should be doing mushrooms. And I was like, yo, that makes sense. They're like, how did you get 2 ounces of mushrooms? Didn't you come from America? Did you bring them? I'm like, no, I got them in Cardiff. And they're like, how did you get 2 ounces of mushrooms out of season, by the way, in Cardiff when you don't live there? You live in America. How'd you get them in Wales? And I go, I have a solid fan base that supports me. By the way, I'm on Patreon now, patreon.com/skeptictank. Next week, there'll be no episode of the free. So go to Patreon. You can get an episode there. I mean, I paid for them, the mushrooms. So anyway, so they're all in. After I gave everybody what I thought they should get, I'm a good doser. I found out who has done mushrooms before, and it was like two of the 12 of them have ever touched it before, and they all went in so fucking readily. I was so impressed. That is, I mean, a camping festival is like the place to do shrooms. For sure. It is an adult playground for addicts. You can't go anywhere. You can't get out of the ground, so you're safe. There's paramedics everywhere. Not everywhere, but like within, you know, a scream away. It's just the best place to do it. On night, what is it? Tame Impala was Friday. Killers was Saturday. Fucking, oh my God, they're so good. I've seen them twice now. Right before it started, right as it was starting, I took a hit of acid that I had. A fan gave me in Cardiff. I tore it in half, took half of it, went to my friend Colette, and I was like, you want this? You want a half a hit of acid? She goes, no, I'm okay. And then I was like, what the fuck are you doing, idiot, Ari? Why would you do half a hit of acid, you moron? You fucking pussy. It's just what I just told you. If there's any ever time to do a hit of acid, not even like two or three, that's what I should be doing. A hit of acid, you fucking... I'm not going to say the word. So yeah, I just took the other half. Fucking Killers were so good. Chris, at that point, he told me, he was like, later we were talking, he goes, you look so happy during the Killers. So day one, everyone's got mushrooms. It's all starting to kick off. People want to go see Annie Beats, someone like that, some DJ. We're all walking. We missed it, by the way. We're all walking. Angus, he's so I was really good about it, you guys. I planned this out well. So 2 ounces of mushrooms. It's gonna supposed to last us for fucking. So you get there Wednesday. There's no music Wednesday. Some of my group got there Thursday. Also no music. Few DJs. Like not much of anything. Couple like bands on the side stage. No main stage. Friday the real music starts. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So you get there 2 days ahead of time just to explore. So what I did is I split it up. Everybody got what I thought they should do. And then I had left over of that ounce. I split it up into three different bags. And I figured out who had subgroups in our group. Because there was a few Americans, a few Londoners, and then a few of their friends. You know, I only knew one person and met one other before I got there. So I figured out who the groups were. I put a few mushrooms in my pocket for later. Also, I had another whole ounce in the tent. But a couple mushrooms in my pocket. Plus, and then I was like, okay, Carl, you take these. In case anybody needs some, Colette has some. And then I forget who else. Oh, Angus. I was like, you take these. Anybody else? If you're on Angus and want more mushrooms, Angus has plenty. This is enough for all of us for the night. And then I forget who else I gave the other third to. And I was like, you're the third group. If anybody wants from her, go get it from her. I forgot who I gave it to. But it was smart because then people did split up. And as we're walking, Angus just, he's like a fucking dog. He's like, squirrel? And just bolts left. I had a fucking Sophie's choice. Do I go with the rest of the group or try to find Angus? Fucking, he's on his own. Goodbye. So third of the mushrooms are gone. We're walking. This dude, Harry. I've never seen anyone that fucked up on mushrooms. I don't know how he was standing. He was just like this stumble about to pass out. Dude, tweakers have the best balance. I don't know if you've ever lived in New York or seen them, but they can be over. I mean, their bodies are shaped like a fucking question mark, and they're not done. They're not falling. It's like they're doing yoga poses. Their head is by the fucking laces of their high top. High top and slipper. And they're not falling over. It's crazy. Tweaker balance. They should give everyone in the Olympics. They should get some tweakers and have them do the fucking poses. He was so fucked, and we were trying to get him there. And this lady, Helen, who also, first time doing mushrooms. I heard her go, she looks at Harry, just gone. You could see through his eyes. You'd be like, Harry, you okay? And he would kind of like not look at you. It was about this long. Let's do it. You do it. Harry, you okay? And then I'd be like, let's say I'm Harry. I like kind of like look straight forward and then like, wait. And then it would sink in when somebody asked me something. Then I would look at them. And then I would process what it was that they had said. This is real time, by the way. And then I processed what they had said. Oh, they said, are you okay? And then, am I okay? Yeah, smile and thumbs up. I mean, that's how long. Fucked up. I've never seen anyone that gone on mushrooms before. I think he was drunk too. It was a pleasure to be around. So Helen goes to herself, I want to be that fucked up. Which is like, dude, what a warrior. She goes, all right, do you have any more mother's mushrooms? I reached in. I was like, whatever I had left in my pocket, I was like, yeah, here. Because we didn't have any in our group. Angus was the one in our group with it. Here, gave her some more. She took those. We get in. Annie Beats. I think that was the name of the lady DJ. So we missed her. We were there way too late. On my way in, I got fucking, somebody's like, are you Shafir? And I'm like, we're going into this crowd of people trying to get into the middle so we can dance. And I'm like, yeah. He goes, hey, can I get a picture? I'm like, not right now. I'm fucking going in. And he goes, hey, can I get a picture? Like, he didn't hear me. I was like, fuck, yeah, okay. So we post a picture. And then they're in front of me. So they're walking away. And then somebody else is like, oh, Shafir, can I get a picture? I'm like, no, I'm losing my friends. Also, I'm tweaked out. So then I'm trying to dance, but I picture these guys behind me just fucking staring at me. So it freaked me out. Before, I got too freaked out. In my pocket were those castle shrooms. And now, look, when Helen goes, I want to get that fucked up. It's like I take responsibility there. I'm like, that is a call to what my strength is, which is properly dosing people. And I have a joy in the art form. I take pride in my work. And if she wants to get as fucked up as Harry, I'm going to get her there, goddammit. So I opened up that fucking castle shrooms, and it's capsules. It's not shrooms. It's capsules. If you don't know about mushrooms, you can have them like you've seen in mushrooms. Or people sometimes now what they do is they grind them up, and they take those grounds, those powder, stick it into a capsule, and so it travels a lot easier, just way smaller. And you can just swallow the capsule, less nausea that way, and it goes right to your stomach, less taste for sure. So there were four capsules in there. So we're kind of dancing, and then she kept looking at Harry. Harry, you okay? Yeah. She was like, God, I want to be there. So I go, Helen, do you want one of these? But I mean, there's a DJ playing. I'm like, do you want one of these? And she goes, what is it? I'm like, it's mushroom. She goes, what? Because now I realize it doesn't look anything like mushrooms. It just looks like a fucking pill. And I'm like, it's mushrooms from a castle in Cardiff. And she was like, no, I don't want that. And I'm like, God damn it. So now I'm fucking gacked on shrooms. I'm starting to think that she thinks I'm dosing her. This guy's fucking watching me, and I'm fucking gone. I had to turn and just walk away. Met up with my group the next morning. It was a loner trip for me. But man, fun. Okay, I mean, I haven't even gotten started yet. Let's finish Glastonbury, and we'll talk about July 1st. The festival was amazing. I mean, start to finish. So on the 31st, the shows were awful, by the way. Oh, my God. So I mean, I'll talk about it another time. Goddamn, festival shows are just goddamn terrible. So June 30th. I've got hours left before I got to shut off my phone. The deal was, I'm not going to go on. One more time. Why am I laughing? I'm smelling it now. It's right in my fucking face. Let my battery run down so I wouldn't even be tempted. On the iPhone. Let it run down, run down, run down. When I left we're talking about 11 o'clock p.m. Had 3% battery left, threw it in my tent, and went off into the world on the final night of Glastonbury to fucking have a great time, do the rest of those drugs. I think I took a mushroom ball that I found. Dude, me and Angus were at, I think, Lizzo or something. Maybe the Lumineers, actually. And we're sitting there. He dove in, dude. 4 days of mushrooms. So the next day he did mushrooms. Oh, I didn't get back to that. He did mushrooms the second day. And I was like, he was like, can I do him again? He loved him. So it reminded me of the first time I did ecstasy. Duncan Trussell gave me ecstasy. He got me ecstasy. And we went and did him at a party. And he goes, I might have said this before, but we're hanging out at some bar on Sunset. We've taken it. He goes, do you feel it yet? I'm like, I think so. It's kind of like, I don't know. It's like a little tingle or something. And he goes, you don't feel it. But I wanted to say, I wanted to feel it. So I was like, no, maybe I do. He goes, you don't, bro. You got to take another half. They were the Buddhas, the Buddha pills. Or maybe the Dolphins. I forget now. You know, the early aughts were a good time for speedy ecstasy. Gave me the other half. 20 minutes later, I was like, I'm like, oh, yeah, man, I get it now. And he goes, yeah, now you feel it. You didn't feel it before. What was I saying here? Oh, so the next day, I saw Duncan in the Comedy Store. I was like, hey, dude, let's do ecstasy again. That was so fucking fun. And he goes, hey, you got to relax. This can be habit forming. You got to calm down. We'll do it again in like a month. And I'm like, oh, damn. So Angus, day two, he goes, but mushrooms are different. He goes, can we do mushrooms again? And I already know the deal at this point. I'm like, and so I told him, you can do mushrooms again, but first of all, your tolerance has just shot up. So in order to get that same level of high, you have to do probably twice as many mushrooms. I've done it before on a shroom fest. I did it one day in Calgary at a UFC with Duncan, and then flew to Montreal the next day. Night after that, did a storytelling show on mushrooms that Dan Soder also did on mushrooms. It's one of the first times I met Soder. Lost it. He said he stared at a light. He thought that there was a light. It was just they kept like ignoring what he was doing on stage. But he was like, I got this pag still. So he started munching mushrooms all day. That was Friday. Saturday, he's munching all day. And then on Saturday also, we're sitting there. So he dives into the whole life. He gets some fleece pants, a fucking cotton shirt, a Cat in the Hat striped, like high hat, but like of different color, rainbow colors, not just red and white. I have like Thai elephant pants, but not that look, but really just women's pajamas as a bottom. Tie-dye V-neck shirt, tie-dye hat. And we're sitting there on the grass. Some lady comes up to us and goes, do you guys want to buy mushrooms? I mean, you couldn't have looked any more like fucking psych heads. And I was like, at first I was like, no, I've got so many, you know, we don't need any. But then it was like, nah, I don't know. The universe is offering you something. Do it, you know? I was like, what do you got? She goes, I got these mushroom balls. They're mushrooms fit in with like fig. There's no dairy. It's all natural. And they're $10 a piece. And I was like, yeah, I'll take two. One for me, one for Angie. So those are the ones we did on Sunday in addition to everything else we were doing. Angus, pretty much the whole time, does not have his phone on. Even better than me. Even better than me. I really left it in my tent for most of it. Because I was like, once I realized I was with my group, I didn't really need to have that WhatsApp. We were all there. After the headline band, we'd all meet up at camp and then head out again from there. Because different headlining bands. You know, Sean Paul was on opposite fucking The Killers, I think. So it's like people had to decide what they wanted to do. Or maybe opposite Tame Impala. I don't know. I had to go on opposite Tame Impala too. So he barely ever has his phone. He was like at 10% battery the whole time. Plugs in on Monday morning. I'm done. I didn't bring my flip phone. My flip phone was in my kitchen, literally tethered to a pole in my kitchen. Burned my battery on my iPhone, but he plugged in and he was supposed to go to work on Monday. He was supposed to take a 5 a.m. bus from fucking the farm through traffic and into work by like 10 a.m. He realized that was a dumb move. So in the morning, he plugged his phone in on Monday. I'm off now. Now I'm off the grid at this point. Doesn't matter for the story though. But he plugs it in, tells his boss, hey, I'm not gonna be able to come in. And she just kind of like gives him like, wow, not ideal, but I guess whatever. Just, you know that passive aggressive boss fucking attitude. Fucking just do it or don't. Either say like, hey man, that's not cool. You really fucked me over here. And leave it at that. Or go, yeah, I understand. It's fucking Glastonbury. I've been there before. I didn't think we were going to come in anyway. Or like, yeah, I'll figure it out. Get some rest. Not the halfway and halfway. Don't be a fucking bitch. Men and women, don't be a fucking bitch. Don't be like, not ideal, but, you know, I guess we'll deal with it. Fucking say it if you're going to say it. Anyway, so he sees this just jerky way of being talked to. And he hadn't been talked to like that. He dove into Glastonbury. He was loving it. Really losing himself in the fucking joy of it. We all got like 6 hours of sleep. No shower. Whore's bath every day. Wet wipes, by the way, when you wipe it under your underarm or in between your crotch on both sides of your ball sack, you look at the thing. It's dirty. Like, it's not just like preventative. You're filthy. And he turns his phone on, and he went from this pure Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, 5 days of fucking fun, to responsibility calling him. And he did this thing that I've gotten. One of my first times, who did I go up with? Evan DeMarie, Desmaris. We did shrooms in Edinburgh. Last night, we took him, went up to the top of Arthur's Seat, watched the sunrise. We did him with John Hastings. He did not have a great trip, and we lost him. What was I going to say about that? Oh. So I in the morning, eventually I lost Evan, and I'm wandering around, and I had this moment of like, so you get real clear on mushrooms. Also travel. Those are two moments where I get real clear. And I had this moment of clarity because I was getting really frustrated. I was trying to plan a special. This was my last special. Right? This must have been 2016. Yeah, I went 2016, 2018, 2016, 2015. I think it was then. Might have been year one, but I think it was year two. Regardless. And my problem was I was just on the rise, financially, career-wise. And so I was getting booked in these places, but I'm trying to plan this special. And I'm trying to figure out what I want to do like 8 out of 10 weeks leading up to a special. I really want to be in groove. And the problem is I don't know when I'm going to be able to do my special. So I have to try to plan and say yes to gigs 5 months out. That's how I plan it, especially at that, like, you can't do like 2 months out. The things are booked. And so it was this really big frustration in my life where I'm like, I don't want to do 8 out of 10 weeks if I'm not right about to get the special. I want to take some time to myself. It gets frustrating to be on the road too much. Especially then I wasn't allowed to take an opener, so I had nobody with me. And I didn't know what to do in terms of getting like the bookings leading up to a special. But if I wasn't doing the special, then I'm doing a bunch of bookings and not getting it. So I'm like, what am I going to do? And then I had this moment of clarity where it's like, I am a little bigger, and what I can do if I needed to, let's say that we call the special, you know, this was in August. So let's say I was like November 17th, I'm doing the special. Like, well, if I need to work the week before, I didn't need to plan that way, way, way in advance. What I could do is 2 months out, I could find a C room, not an A room, like Denver Comedy Works, not a B room, like I don't know, wherever else. I don't want to insult anybody, but like a C room. If you live in Middle America or anywhere in this not the biggest town, you might have a C room in your town. It's just they don't have any names coming in. You're never going to like recognize any of those people. You might have heard of them from a guest star on someone else's podcast, you know. But like they're not there for their name. They're there to fill time. And a lot of times you get like road hacks. And like you also get some good comics, but on the way up, but it's just like hard, you know. The comics aren't making very much. You just have to sell T-shirts and merch because I can't make ends meet just with the awful pay they're getting. And I was like, I can do one of those. I can get my reps I have to in those C rooms. And I was like, I'm making enough money now where for the first time in my life, whoever was booked in the C room, let's say 2 months out, I can be like, can I get that week? And they're like, someone's booked. I'm like, well, what are they making? $1,200, $1,500? I'm like, pay them their money and tell them that they have the week off. And then I'll just go for break-even money. I'll just go for, like, you know, whatever I make would go to that guy. And I think I had that power. And I was, like, so clear that I was like, oh, everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. We going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. What is that, John Lee Hooker? What am I thinking of? It's Muddy Waters. Yeah, it's Muddy Waters. And so it was just clear. But I also got to this point where I'm like, the computer is bothering me. This was 2016, you guys, maybe 2015. And I already then got inklings of it where it's not adding to my life. This is a good song. Huh. So, Angus had that. He had the realization that this computer, like what I had, the computer was giving him like badness in his life. And he looks at his phone and he goes, this thing that's giving him pain from having like 5 days of no pain, and it was just you could see it on his face. You could see it on his face. He was just like, oh, I'm clear. I'm clean. Like, he just thought clearly for the first time, and he just goes, he didn't say it out loud, but with his face he did. It was, fuck this thing. This device that's bringing pain to his life. It was just like, he was like seeing this boss bitching at him, and he was like having a great time, and immediately the smile turns to a frown, and he was like, this did it to me. This thing did it to me. And he just goes, and he just goes, nope, and he just throws it. Not even like a little bit. I mean, he throws it far. He chucked it. It was so, it made me so happy to see that guy have this complete clarity of, I want to get away from this. It is bothering my life. Anyway, Helen actually went over and picked up his phone and then pointed at him. He was like, no, I'm keeping this for you. And just held it for him. Didn't break, too. Where's this chorus? I want to hear this fucking song. And so that was the first day of something I saw with no phone. I saw a guy literally throw his phone away. Where the fuck is this chorus? I remember this song. Well, maybe this isn't the song. I'll turn this down. Wrapped up in love again. I don't think this is it. If I pause, it's going to sound weird. Okay, so now we got no phone. And now we're off. July 1st, I checked in the morning. The iPhone was dead. Perfect. No charger with me. It was gone. It was a paperweight. Couldn't even use it for, what's it called? Music, you know? Went to Bristol. Yeah, let's start with that. Let's start with that. That's it, right at the very end of the song. I don't know. I thought it was something else. I thought it was John Lee Hooker. Maybe it's Big Mama Thornton. Whatever, Ari, get back into it, you still fucking idiot. So, in Bristol, get dropped off by Francis, by the agent. He went back to his town, like outside Bristol. Gave me one piece of note. The very first Banksy is here. There's the bus station. I'm sorry, the bus for the, he could have dropped me off at the airport. I'm like, no, drop me off in town. I'll take the bus. Is there a bus to the airport? He goes, yes, there is. I'm like, well, I got 4 hours to kill. Let me see Bristol for a little bit. Also, I was gonna get a watch. That was my flaneur goal. Get a watch because I wanted to see what time it was. Got to meet my girlfriend in Barcelona that night. He goes, well, okay, here, this is the downtown area. Here's the bus stop. I was like, bring me there, so at least I know where that is. Asked them immediately, like, how often does the bus go to the airport? Every 20 minutes. Fine, cool, I'm good. He said, the very first Banksy is there. And he pointed, he goes, it's just right down there. And I was like, cool, let that be. I'll have the watch, something to eat, maybe some salad. Hadn't had anything green for 5 days. And see this Banksy. I like art. And to see the very first, like, Banksy on a wall, that'd be cool. That's cool. I want to see that. Got something to eat and then start looking for this Banksy and couldn't find it. Couldn't find it. I knew it was around. I was still too shy around strangers. I wouldn't have been in Glastonbury, but out of Glastonbury and out of the city, I'm a little scared. It's Bristol. It's kind of degenerate there. And I didn't ask anybody. I didn't want to feel like a tourist. So I didn't just ask anybody, even the clerk of the place who got me the salad. I didn't say like, hey, where's that? I heard there's a Banksy around here. Do you know where that is? And I'm sure she would have. But I didn't ask. I just wandered, looked and looked and looked and never found it. And yeah, I'm sure there, you guys probably could have. You probably could have looked it up. But I didn't. And it was interesting to not. So already one defeat. Did find a watch. 8 pounds. Water resistant to fucking 10 meters. Just a digital watch. Then went back to the bus station. Smoked the last of my joint. Got back on the bus. No, I smoked almost. I smoked the last. Yeah, almost the last of my joint. From Glastonbury. Gave most of my weed to my friends there. And then kept a joint and a half. So I smoked a joint. Kept a half. Got on the bus. When I got to the airport, smoked the other half and got on a plane and boarded for Barcelona where I was going to meet my girl. It was okay checking in. It wasn't a problem without any. You get there and you're like, you just ask somebody, where's the, oh no, I had everything printed out. I printed out everything ahead of time. I was real clear about it. Every doctor appointment I had, every gig I had. I wrote it out on a calendar, an Adbusters calendar. They put it in there where they're like commemorating the moonlight. They're trying to do this campaign of like every full moon, you should not be, don't use any of your screens. Look away from all of it. Technology. What are we in now? August? We've already missed it. Full Sturgeon Moon Day on the 15th. September is the 14th of September is Full Corn Moon Day. The day before that, September 13th, Civil Disobedience Day. I think if I had to guess what I'm going to do for civil disobedience, I'm going to fuck up some advertisement. I'm going to find some advertisement that's like fucking infecting our lives, throwing itself at me uninvited, and I'm going to destroy it. Maybe some spray cans, paint. Spray paint. Or maybe I'll rip it. I don't know. Peaceful. But yeah, I'll destroy some advertising. There's no advertising in Glastonbury. It's so much different than Governor's Ball or Bonnaroo. Even the areas where it's like, there's just none of that. There's no corporate sponsorship. Greenpeace a little, but not even like overwhelming. Landed in Barcelona, the night of the first, tired. It's not a very long flight. It was 6 p.m. to like 9 p.m., delayed a little bit. My girlfriend was like, what are you going to do if it's delayed? I'm like, I don't know, but I had the address of the Airbnb. And I will find it. I'll tell a cab driver this is the address. It's not impossible. It's pretty fucking easy. I just had to print up all the addresses of all the Airbnbs so I could like give them to people. You had to plan it ahead of time a little bit. I had to plan it ahead a little time, but not that much. Got there, found it, and I'm like, fuck, it's locked. I don't know how to get in there. And so I'm down this alley trying to find this Airbnb. It's locked. There's a gate into like into this other alley. An alley off an alley is a gate to get into like the apartment building. And I'm just like, that's locked. I'm like, what the fuck do I do? So I start like, what? And I start wandering back past a bar. And then my girlfriend's like, Ari. She's in the bar waiting for me. So fucking worked out. She goes, I left you a note, which I didn't see. But anyway, found her, had a drink, went upstairs, fucked hard, and then slept the sleep of the damned. I mean, I was out trying to recover from 5 days of debauchery. And then I had an amazing 4 days in Spain. Dude, it was Barcelona, such a cool town. It's so fucking cool, you guys. They have just a culture of eating. First of all, anything from Gaudi is... I have no picture of this, but... No, I have one picture that my girlfriend took of something I'll tell you about later. Gaudi, the word gaudy comes from this dude, this architect. He designed a church called Sagrada Familia that we saw the last day. And it's like weird. He believed, I think, that architecture should mirror nature. So there's no like straight lines. There are, but there's like also wild curves. And he designed this church. And it was going to take 200 years to build. And the city of Barcelona was like, we got you. We got you. For sure. And so they're still building it. They started building it like 70 years ago. The dude died. He got hit by a tram when he was like 70 years old. And thousands of people came out to his funeral. An architect whose greatest work hadn't been completed yet. Anyway, everywhere in Barcelona, there's like, you know how they have bars on windows in big cities? The bars there go like, they look like mushroomed out bars. They're just, they're wild curves and stuff. They look like they've been bent and by a strong man. But anyway, that's not what I loved the most about Barcelona. What I loved the most was the culture of these long meals and the daytime drunk. So they're pretty much, it's hard to find a lunch between 3 and like 6 p.m. to find anything to eat. They have lunch, and then it's real like most things close down and then open again. But even before, it doesn't matter if it's closed down. What you do is you go get a place. You pull up a chair. They love vermouth there. They love vermouth. And you drink some vermouth or some wine or some anything, beers. And you just drink and drink and drink. And then you order tapas, which is just a little like – bite-sized food. I was going to say hors d'oeuvres, but not even really. But it's just a wash-up to soak up some of the alcohol so you can keep drinking. And people aren't getting, like, surly drunk. They're getting happy drunk. And it's everywhere. And there's little kids around. I bought some tobacco. I like smoking. I mean, I had such a fun time smoking cigarettes in Croatia that I was like, I'm going to smoke again. I'm going to roll tobacco and smoke again. But this time I was forcing it. Last time it was because I came from Edinburgh and all those fucking spliffs, those fucking idiots, they got me hooked on tobacco from spliffs. But this time I was like forcing it, so I didn't quite feel it. Smoked a couple though. It's just cooler there. It's also cool to drink like Fanta from a straw out of a can. It just seems like Spain, like European. But anyway, you sit there and you have lunch for like 2.5 hours. It's so cool. You just talk and drink. And then you're like, some olives, please. Sure. They bring some olives and you have some more booze. You just keep drinking. A cheese plate, if you will. A ham, a jamon. Some croquetas. Some pastries. Some puff pastries. And then they have pinches, which are like whatever, from a different region. They have full meals, too, for night. But that tapas, those long, long meals. And the meals at night, they start at like 9:30 p.m. Nobody eats at 7. The restaurants close at midnight. Stop serving at midnight. They keep going after that. These are restaurants, man. It's just this like it's late because it's like a bearable level of heat. I love Barcelona. It was cool as fuck. We went to this bar, Marseille. It's an absinthe bar. Well, it's not an absinthe bar, but they have absinthe. And You just get this thing of absinthe. Then they give you some water or sparkling water. He takes a like a some sort of like, you know, they have those like pipe pokers to clean out a, like a one hitter or something. So it's like that, but real thin and like sharp. Pokes a top in the hole of the water. So it's just a very thin hole in the plastic cap of a water, and gives you a couple sugar cubes and a fork. It was so cool, man. You should have seen this bar. I mean, it was like unchanged from like the 50s. I mean, dust unchanged. The bottles of booze on the wall. They had a Bacardi bottle where I'm like, they haven't made that label. I don't recognize it, how old it is. They had a bunch of alcohols that I'm like, I don't even know what that is. I'm sure some of it's like Spanish, you know, but like, I mean, from Spain, English lettering, but like, I've never heard of that brand. I think defunct stuff. It was so old and cool. It was so fucking cool. Ceiling fans and like, just like nothing had been touched. The tiles. God, I felt like a fucking badass. And so you take these sugar cubes, you put a fork resting on your glass of absinthe, and you have two ways to do it. So this is the way we did it the first time. You take a sugar cube and you put it, so you know how you can rest a fork so it's like kind of like drooping down and then back up, you know, like the teeth are, the edges of the teeth are on the end of the glass, and then the handle is on the other end of the glass. Getting that? Am I explaining it wrong? So now if you put the sugar cube on the fork, the sugar cube is hovering, if not for the fork, directly above. This place was so cool, man. You got to go if you're ever in Barcelona. Marseille, Marseilles. So the sugar cube's on the fork. And then you take the sparkling water or water, I don't even know which one it is, and you just squeeze it so the water goes in this very small, thin stream. It may even put drops. Goes on the sugar, and the sugar slowly melts through the teeth of the fork into the absinthe and gets it hot. Delicious. And then we saw somebody doing it with fire, and we were like, let's get some more absinthe. We're doing it that way. And that way is, same thing, put the fork on, whatever. You dip the sugar cube in the absinthe real quick, like, you know, from with the fork, then pick it back up, rest it there, light that shit on fire. And so now the sugar cube's on fire, and it's melting the sugar into the drink. Man, I want to be back there. God, it was fucking cool. Stumble home drunk. Needed weed. Can't find weed. We're walking on Las Ramblas, which used to be like the dangerous part of town. And some guy walks up to us. He was like, weed, you want weed? And I was overwhelmed. I was overwhelmed because I wasn't ready for it. And I'm like, no, I'm good. Just out of habit. And then he walked off. We took four more steps. And then she was like, wouldn't that have been good? I'm like, yeah, I fucked up. She goes, yeah, but we want to weed. I'm like, I know. I should have said yes. I was caught off guard. Oh, it fucking sucks. We were looking for weed for 2 days. We're like, maybe we'll go back to that bar where she was waiting for me. And maybe ask the bartenders that they seem cool. Maybe. That's how my brother got it for us in Israel. You know, he was just like, he's better at it than I am. Just like ask bartenders. And yeah, we did one in Eilat. We're like, at the restaurant, the waiter. We're like, you guys know where we can get weed? Like, we can call our guy. We're like, can you? We'll wait. And they're like, sure. And they called, you know, they called their guy. That's what my roommate Aaron used to tell me. He was like, if you want to find weed in another place, he was talking about America, but really anywhere, ask a waiter. They're all potheads, or their friends are. Anyway, redemption though. A minute later, somebody else like, you want weed? Because that's the fucking drug part of town. But now, since I had just fucked up, and I was like, I wish I had that chance to do that over again. And then I got a chance. I got my chance to do it over again. And he goes, you want weed? I'm like, yes, I do. How much? goes, 20 pounds, 20 euros. Let's go. And he starts leading us. I'm like, cool, let's do it. I'm like, yes, yes, redemption. And then he starts leading us down an alley, down a street, a side street, and then a smaller street, and then a smaller street. And then he starts to go down an alley. And at that point, I'm like, hey, where are we going? And he goes, fucking wait here. Goes, gets weed. I barely glance at it and grab it. I'm willing to just take it if it's fake or whatever. Hand him the money, palm him the money. He takes four steps. I take four steps the other way. And he goes, hey, this is a 5, not a 20. Total accident. Switched it out. And now I had to find fucking weed in Barcelona, man. That's not even close to the coolest thing. The coolest thing was, and this and now, what day are we on? Here, let me go to my journal. Travel journal, you guys. It's the way to do it. You do it every morning. 7-1. Our camp was breaking apart. Got dropped off at bus station, walked around Bristol for a while. 7-2. 7-3. Oh, homie, gazpacho at a bar. Went to the market, La Boqueria. God, dude, I ate an oyster the size of my fist. Just a fresh Spanish oyster. Who's so fucking good. I forgot about that. The coconut pieces in this fucking gorgeous fountain. In this giant, really nice park. And this guy's like, coconut? Just a little piece of coconut. Oh. Anyway, that's not the coolest thing. 5 out of 20. We were walking back from, I think, from Sagrada Familia, which was on the last day we finally went. And we looked down an alley. Alley is, I guess, the theme of today. And there was a banner. Okay, so how do I describe this? It was an alley, and so which went from one street straight through to the next street. Alley. And then in that alley, there's, you know, buildings on both sides of the alley. It goes up. And then halfway down, it's like a bridge. So you have to go underneath, not the bridge, but underneath a building. Not underneath a building. It's still like ground floor. But it goes above you. It like connects, you know. So there's some like windows going up. Towards the end of the alley, it becomes a full building. But the first story is still open. There you go. There was a sheet of canvas, and it just said something about cops. And I asked my girl to translate. She speaks Spanish really well because she lived there for a year. That's where she learned it. And it pretty much said, she translated. She couldn't see it all because it was kind of like folding over on itself. So all over Barcelona, there are these separatist flags. You'll have the Spanish flag. Let me look this up so I can describe it to you. Separatist Spain flag. Well, they have Bath in the other place, but it's not that. Here it is. Catalonia. It's this region, and they want out. What was going on politically at the time was they called for a referendum. The government of Catalonia. It's kind of like... It's not quite like California is to America. It'd be kind of like West Coast. They have West Coast, South, East Coast, Midwest, Northeast, you know, kind of like that. But they have different languages. And Franco actually put an end to the languages. He goes, you cannot teach your children Catalan anymore. It's a different language than Spanish. It overlaps a bit from what I understand. And he said, you can't teach your children. He wanted to die out because he thought the language was the thing making them be separate. And he's not wrong. But people taught their children in secrecy. If you know anyone in Catalan region of Spain, who is like 60 years old and speaks Spanish, it's because they were illegally taught. Speaks Catalonian. Catalan? Catalonian? Whatever. They were illegally taught it. It was in secret, like the fucking Jews in the Roman occupation. Anyway, so it's these red and white, red and yellow stripes is the flag. But then they have this like triangle on the very far left that goes in with a white star in the middle of it. And they'll hang those down. So the stripes go straight down and the stars at the top. And they're everywhere. They're on government buildings even. And the star means separatist, means we want out. So what happened is the government of Catalan, kind of like, you know, that region. So kind of like it's similar to like, let's say, the mayor of California, governor, saying we want out. Let's take a referendum. Let's all we decided the governor of California said we're going to take a vote to see if we want to leave America. And the Spanish authority was like, that's an illegal referendum. And they put a bunch of people in jail. They put a bunch of politicians in jail for calling for the referendum. They said, it's an illegal vote. You can't have that vote. And the Catalan side was, well, we want to have the vote. We want to decide if we want to separate or not. They did the vote, by the way, and it came out like, same as like Scotland last time. It was like 52-48. In favor of stay, by the way. But there's no stay flags. There are only separatist flags. There's some Spanish flags for sure, but not very many. And so there's signs all over everywhere, like free these political prisoners. They did what we wanted them to. They called for a referendum and it was pretty fucking close. Like they should have had the vote. It wasn't like 90-10. We're like, why'd you even bring that up? It was where it was like, yeah, let the people decide. But the Spanish government's like, no, that's not how it works. You can't just secede. Now, the Bath, I think it's Bath, in the other region, they're way more violent than the Catalan separation. And they turn terrorist. But Catalonia is pretty peaceful. So they want these people out of there. So even the people that think they should stay, the Spanish like citizens that I've heard of and that I've talked to that don't want to separate, they're still like, you got to let those politicians out of jail, though. They didn't do anything wrong just by saying we want to put it to a vote. You got to let them out of jail. So it's this weird thing right now. Anyway, so this canvas that's hanging out of the fourth story window and hangs all the way to the second story, and it's just written down, and I will put this on the should I put this on the Patreon page? No, I'll put this on the website. So here's what I'm going to do for the Patreon, by the way. When there are things, I feel a responsibility towards not ruining places. So if it's like the Eiffel Tower, everybody knows about it. It's overrun with tourists, I'm sure. Venice, I've heard, is like that. I ain't going to worry about ruining something that's already ruined. Also, if it takes you an extreme amount of effort to get somewhere, meaning like plane to a bus to a boat to another long tuk-tuk, then it's like, I'll talk about it because you ain't just going to be able to get there. You ain't just going to be able to just go and ruin it. This is one. Yeah, it doesn't do anything. I had a couple spliffs with me. And so this it was a block party, by the way, in the alley. Oh, that's what I forgot to tell you. It was a block party. They're all kind of lined up on both sides, and they're doing a rap challenge. It's Barcelona versus somebody. Rap challenge. The whole crew of rappers from Barcelona, or from this neighborhood anyway, I don't really know exactly, versus a whole crew of rappers from somewhere else. They had a beatbox, and they had fucking people going one after another. But this canvas unfurled, and along the lines of, I'll put this on the website because this isn't going to ruin it for anything. I'll put this on the actual AriShafir.com website and not the Patreon.com/SkepticTank. It said, police, you are not wanted here. Move on. Because I guess they've been cracking down and they were like, we don't want you here. And they put up a giant statement. A giant bill of statements saying, beat it, you fucking pigs, beat it. You're not wanted here. We're having a good time. It felt so, I don't know what the word is, like a vibrant, like, you felt like you were living. It really felt like you were living. And we listened to the rappers, and they're not good. A few went back and forth. Then a black guy went up, and we're like, uh-oh, and he sucked. It was great. Like, that's black Americans, bro. You don't get that joy everywhere else, but everyone thought, hey, he must be good, he's black, and then nope. That was cool as fuck. And that really, that the joy I got from being there, from feeling like you were part of something, carried me through at least the next few hours till I started throwing up from food poisoning. So I think it was the Pinchos. There was a quail egg one that was like left out for a long time and just like pull, you know, whatever you want. I think that was it. Quail egg got me. I still love it. Fried quail egg, but it got me in Myanmar too. I can't be sure. Just like in Myanmar, I can't be sure because I had a bunch of shit and tobacco and other stuff. But actually, tobacco and quail eggs are both present in both of them. And so me and my lady are walking around. We went to a fucking Michelin restaurant. We're like, let's go have a nice dinner. You know, spend like $200. Let's fucking go for it. We're in Barcelona. She's like, hell yeah. And we're walking. I was like, oh, hold on one second. I'm starting to feel nauseous. And I'm like, let me stop into this bar real quick. I got to pee. But I didn't have to pee. And I threw up in the sink. And then I threw up again. And then one more time. Try to wash it down. She came out. I came out. And she was still outside in the alley. These like European alleyways, you know. And she goes, did you shit? And I'm like, no, I threw up. And she goes, what? They're like, yeah, it's all right. I thought I got rid of it, whatever it was. And then we went to a seafood, Michelin star seafood restaurant. And we made a reservation. And they were like, we don't know if you what's the name of that place? What is that place? I'm going to find it. Because they fucking sucked. They're like, no. We stopped serving. You don't have a reservation. I'm like, no, we made a reservation on like, you know, on like Seamless, one of those places. And they're like, well, no, we wouldn't take reservations. And we're like, oh, it's okay. We can go somewhere else. But we showed them the reservation. They're like, no, we'll seat you. I'm like, no. If you guys are closing, we'll just leave. They're like, no. We'll see you. But then the whole time they were rushing us. You're a Michelin star restaurant. Anyway, sat down, ordered. Immediately, I'm like, I go to the bathroom, threw up again, sat back down. And she's like, babe, should we just leave? We can just get these appetizers. I'm like, no, because in my head, I was like, maybe they already started cooking it, so fuck it. I should have said no right there. Dude, I threw up probably four different times. I just kept getting up, like, excuse me. And then just throwing up in the toilet. Coming back, and then fish starts coming out. She's fine, by the way. Nothing's wrong with her. And I just keep barfing, and this fish, I like poked at it because it's, you know, it's a fucking $60-$80 meal. I'm like, gonna try a little bit, but fish is the wrong food for when you're throwing up food poisoning. They had these razor clams. It's like long, almost like worm-like clams that were so fucking probably good, but I just couldn't enjoy it. And then on the way home, luckily for my experience in Myanmar of getting the barfs, I was like, I need azithromycin. Guys, if you're ever in a place, get a Z-Pack, azithromycin. It's one pill a day for 3 days, and it just calms you. And I'm now on the way home starting to heave more and more, and it's not good. And it's going to be the shits and the barfs, and it's getting worse and worse. And I was like, babe, can you stop and get me somewhere? She knew the Barcelona life. She lived there. And she's like, one pharmacy, they on a rotating basis, will always stay open in Barcelona. But she had to wait in line with this drug addict. Told the guy what I wanted. He goes, we have something like that. So then what you got to do is, as you're barfing, you can't just take the pill because you're going to barf it up. I mean, there's a point where I was barfing up water. I would drink a little water and I'd throw that up. And so you got to like finish a barf and then like I think I'm safe and then swallow it with almost out water or just like a cap full of water. It started to slow me down. I slept in the bed. She slept on the couch because it's like you don't want to be around me. And then as it started to slow down, she felt bad for me, you know. But I was able to start getting it under control about 5 a.m. And as it does, I'm like, okay, I think I'm finally able to sleep a little bit. She's like, my stomach is fucked. And it's like, oh, no.
And then she got the food poisoning. Started throwing up so much razor clams came out of her fucking nose. Which is like, did you even chew that? And you just fucking swallow it whole. What the fuck is wrong with you? Besides that, great fucking time in Barcelona. I mean, I want to go back. It was cool. Anti-separatist. I like that separatist flag so much. I want to get a Maryland flag, a separatist Maryland flag. Maryland has one of the coolest flags in the Union. Also, we take more pride in our flag than anyone except maybe Texas. The pride, Maryland. We went to Firefly in Delaware, which is right next to Maryland, and you have so many fucking. I don't know anyone who wears like a hat will be entirely covered as Maryland flag. Texas will have the star in the middle of it, or a flag in the middle of it. Maryland cap is the whole thing, is the flag, or a shirt that's the whole thing. I want, you know. You know what I want made? I want a onesie. That's what I got to do. I'm going to make this for next summer, next winter. I want a onesie ski outfit that is entirely the Maryland flag. I also want a flag, Maryland flag, separatist. I want to start a campaign for Maryland to leave the Union. They're always talking about California. They're always talking about Texas leaving. Nobody talks about Maryland leaving. We have every season. We have crabs. We should leave and be our own thing. Good luck getting from fucking Virginia to Pennsylvania. We're not letting you fly. Anyway, whatever. But I would like that. Okay, anyway, then went to Tossa de Mar and the north. Just quiet beach towns. And spent 4 days at the beach having a fucking great time. But I didn't really need my phone because I was with her. And she knew all the directions. She used her phone for GPS to get where we were going. Went to a nude beach too, man. Yeah, it was this hike. It was like about an hour hike from a parking lot around some cliffs to like a nude beach. And it, I love a nude beach, dude. Went to one in Perth. Made kind of my own in Croatia, on an island in Croatia that I won't tell you the name of the island. But like, I don't know, if nobody's there and you have a little enclave and you're sitting on a rock, like rocks that go straight down into the Adriatic, yeah, get naked. Of course, let your fucking dick shine, bro. Be a fucking free man. The weird thing I noticed also from the separatist flags is the vote was split close to half and half. But the only thing you see if you walk down the streets is like, oh, everybody wants out. But it's not true, right? Because the vote was 50-50, 52, 48, you know, but 50-50 pretty much. But if you just looked at the flags, you'd be like, oh, for sure, everybody wants out of here. But it's not true. And it's kind of the same thing with like the media, where they write about how terrible like something is in public opinion, but then the reality is most people don't feel that way. Louis C.K. is a great example, where all the articles about how awful he is, and then you talk to anyone in person, and 9 people out of 10 go, yeah, I don't even see an issue there. I don't know, he asked some chick if he could do something, she said yes, and then he did. And then when chick said no, he didn't. Where is he even? But definitely, like, leave him alone already. He's done enough. I mean, 9 out of 10 either think he's been plenty punished enough, or there never should have been any punishment because I don't think he did anything wrong. And I'm in that camp. I don't even see an issue there. What was I going to say now? The beach was great. So anyway, then it was time to go home. And this is when not having the phone started to get to me, because now she's off at work. I don't have her. I'm not at the beach. You don't need it. You have a book, you know. You're staying there. You walk to the beach. You walk around. Went into another castle. Oh, my God. Had a picture of that, like, what do they have? Like a sparkling sangria. It's so good. Maybe it's just sangria. Spin sangria. Oh, I guess it's just that. Yeah, but it's so fruity. Yeah, so he went. It was like lighter though, and had some in a castle. We saw some such fun things. The water was great though. The water in that fucking in the coast of Spain, the Costa Brava, it was so warm and nice and like. What a good beach. What a good fucking beach. Anyway, so then it's home. And now it's a little different. So I think I came home on the 7th. Let's see. Let's see my calendar here. July, Spain, 8th. July 8th, I was back. And now it kind of starts because now is when I'm back into my normal day-to-day life. And I don't have the phone. So I will tell you this. My thought was I'm not going to do no social media, no computer at all, no iPad. The only phone I would use, I probably said this in the intro, is a landline in my kitchen. Turn my texting off. I'm sure some people texted me and then they just assumed I was ignoring them, but I never got it. The texting was off. For some people who wrote me, it would send them a text back saying this user is not receiving text messages. On iMessage, it would send that back saying I would have like a do not disturb reply automatically going. But for a regular text, if you text me from an iPhone, I never got that. It never came through. I'm sure it looked like I ignored you, but I didn't. So now it's July 8th, and oh, I did a oh my God, it's fun stuff. So I decided pretty fast. I started watching a lot of TV. Okay, when you're used to filling your not gonna say you, me. It's all me. This experience is mine. It's not anybody else's. I'm going to try to do that this whole episode where I'm not going to tell anybody anything. So how to live your life. You know, you do whatever you want. I'm just going to tell you what I did. Within a day, I was so bored. I filled my time before that doing the scroll of Facebook, email, iMessage, texting, occasionally checking social media, even though I don't have it but from my computer. YouTube. And when that all just drops away from your day-to-day life, from my day-to-day life, there was nothing to fill it with. So I was so bored. So I turned on the TV, ESPN, Netflix. And for 2 or 3 days, I watched a lot of TV. And then I was like, this isn't healthy either. So I changed it to I can own no screens at all except when I'm with people. So I can go to a movie with somebody, or if my girlfriend's home and wants to watch, you know, a movie with me, it's like fine. Now it's social, so I'm okay. I was doing that with weed for a while too, where it was like, dude, I smoke too much. So I'm like, don't stop smoking. But like when everyone's like, let's smoke a joint, I'm like, yes, that's the right time. So I was bored. I was so bored. And it resulted instantly in me taking more walks. I would get up. I would go to my phone. I would make some phone calls, call my agent, my manager, but not before noon because they were West Coast. You know, I'm East Coast. So not before noon my time. And I would just go on walks. I'd stop by Big J's a lot. I needed to fill this boredom. It wasn't even the goal. It was just my body was reacting negatively to a glut of time. It felt weird. And then after I got social, I started talking to everybody. In Montreal later, I remember talking to some comics I normally wouldn't have, but I ran into them and it's like, I don't know how to get in touch with some other comics, with Joe List. I can't get in touch with them. So it's like, these comics are also cool. And now I made friends with new comics. People that I knew, but I hadn't really talked to before. So that was great. What a great side effect. negative side effect in Montreal. I also had a friend that I met in Thailand who lives in Montreal, and we've hung out before, and I didn't bring her phone number, so I couldn't make a call from the hotel room, and I couldn't look up on Facebook to tell her I was in town. Later found out she had written me, but I didn't find that out till August 1st. Or August 5th when I actually got back on. So I missed out on seeing her. So that sucked. Other things were good. Talking to those new comics. But I was so bored, so I started reading more. I read a fucking pretty good book, The Plot Against America by Philip Roth. And it is written, I think, in 2003. And it pretty much predicts all the shit that's going on with Trump. Not only what he's doing, but how other people react to him. How the media, the left media and the right media, both react to each other based on a divisive character at the top and react to that character on top. Both the left-wing media and the right-wing media. Philip Roth fucking nailed it in 2003, way before he could have even seen this coming. This is before Obama, way before Obama. But I mean, what do you do when you get bored, when you get legit bored? How do you fill that time? So, number one, drugs. I smoked so much. I smoked so fucking much. So I wasn't smoking weed and wasn't doing any drugs up until Glastonbury. My doctor told me no amphetamines, which means coke, which is Molly. And he goes, no smoking weed. And I was like, what do you mean? He goes, it's a smoke. Definitely no tobacco, but the smoke is a carcinogen, and that hurts the healing of bone. And I'm like, what? And he goes, yeah, man, it's not as bad as tobacco, but I'm telling you, I'm advising you not to smoke weed. And I was like, well, can I do edibles? And he goes, yes. And I was like, what? He goes, yes, I'm saying you can do edibles, but don't smoke. And I was like, how about vapes? And he goes, yeah, that's okay also, as long as you know what's in it. I mean, don't do fucking crazy shit. He was real strong on whatever's in tobacco vapes. Is he goes, I don't really know what's in there. I don't trust that. But I was like, fuck, how long is this going to be for? And he goes, till you're healed. I'm like, oh. And then he stopped me in my tracks. He goes, are you really complaining that you have to only do edibles and weed vapes for a couple months? And I'm like, all right, when you put it that way, good point. So drugs. Oh, so and then maybe you fill it with friends. You fill the boredom, which I did. And then number three, drugs and friends. You know, do drugs with friends. So anyway, I couldn't have any amphetamines, any smoking weed. But I was like, when I get to Glastonbury, I'm done with that. I mean, I was supposed to heal a month before that, but I went better safe than sorry. Went all the way to Glastonbury. Didn't smoke weed at Skankfest. That Molly I took was 2 days before Glasto. It was all right, I'm done. They told me about this fucking, I guess I'll talk about that later. He was a big fucking Liverpool fan. Okay, Chris. He told me about the celebration they had when they won. You want to talk about staying positive? They asked his Liverpool coach. So they have Champions League there. And then they have A-League. I forget how you say it even. Premier League. That's so how it works in football in the UK is 20, 24 teams, whatever it is. Let's say 24 teams. Let's say 20 teams. The top four teams at the end of this regular season go on to go to a playoff to see who wins the regular season of the Premier League. Premier is the best. They also have a second league, which is called, I forget. Let's just call it the B League. And they also have a C League. My friend Ryan Kator, who I met in Myanmar, he is a giant Newcastle Black fan. That's the name. That's our mascot, the Black. The Newcastle Black. They were relegated. So the top four teams, when I met them, they were relegated. The top four teams move on to a playoff. The bottom four teams of the Premier League get relegated down to the B League next year. So if you're fifth, fourth from last, fifth to last, sixth to last, third to last, and it's getting towards the end of the season, you still have something to fight for. Because if you're in the bottom four, you can't compete for a championship. They're into the B League, the minor leagues, you know, and the top four teams from the B League move up. And so then all those bottom four teams have to do. Now, often the next year they get relegated right back down. But as long as they come in fifth to last, then they stay in the league. And then they get more fans. Then they have more money to give towards the free agents. And they're more likely to fucking stay in the Premier League, in the A League. So Newcastle Black had been relegated. I think they're up since then. I'm a Tottenham Hotspurs fan because they are known as the Yid Army. So I guess I have to be. Harry Kane. Liverpool. Also, the top four teams from the Premier League play in that playoff to see who wins the Premier League, but they also play in the Champions League, which is every country's best four teams compete. So Messi will compete for whatever his club team is in Barcelona, FC Barcelona, I think. Well, I got to bring that fucking lighter. I got Tom Segura. He's a Barcelona fan. I got him an FC Barcelona lighter from Barcelona, from the stadium. What was I going to say? This Liverpool coach has switched. So it's kind of like college basketball. You win the ACC, it's really big and you want to, but you win the national championship, it's bigger. So this Liverpool coach has won six Champion League titles. Six times. His club team from the UK has won, beaten all the other European club teams. Six times. It's crazy. But he's never won a Champions League title. And they were asking about it. He just won his sixth title. I got to find this too. He just won his sixth Champions League title. And they go, does it sour this at all that you have won six Champions League titles but never won Premier League title? UK title. So they're in an interview, and this guy, Jurgen Klopp, he's Scandinavian. He's their coach. So fucking sick. Six national titles, let's just say, no ACC titles. That's the equivalent. And they go, do you think that sours your legacy that you've never won this lower level thing? And it was such a fucking great response to someone who's they're trying to bring him down. And he is just staying positive. And his response was, you've never won that? This guy's a great, he's drunk. He, one of the parades, he almost fell off the parade wagon. He was just drunk for the victory parades. So Liverpool is a town of 450,000 people. 50% bigger than Glastonbury Festival. 450,000 people. At their celebration of their last Champions League title, 750,000 people showed up. 80% more than the city of Liverpool. So anyway, you got to listen to this. So they asked him, do you think that sours you to have won these six titles, but never ever won a Premier League title? Here's his response.
A couple of people can tell you, yeah, but you didn't win. So now let's talk about six, baby. Let's talk about you. Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that made me. Let's talk about six.
First of all, he sings the whole fucking song. They have a whole fucking chorus. He didn't just go, let's talk about six, baby, and then end it. He sang the whole fucking chorus. But all he's saying is, let's talk about the wins. What are you guys talking? I gotta play that again. He is in an interview. He's in an interview out after a game or something like that. Maybe he's at a, I don't know where he is, but he's at some interview. Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp remixes the old Salt-N-Pepa track Talk about sex. To talk about sex. Buy your talk about sex merch. Oh, they're selling sex merch. How can you not love? How can you not love Klopp? Oh my God, I love this man. Let's talk about sex crying. He's our legend. We have to sign him up for life. We go again. YNWA 96. YNWA. Come on, boys. I want to hear that again. Listen to this. Listen to this.
Always a couple of people who can tell you, yeah, but you didn't win. So and now, let's talk about six, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that may be. Let's talk about six. Baby. That's a new song.
Anyway, that guy Chris who was telling about Tinder told me about this. Fucking. I got into a lot more discussions with people. I did notice that. I was talking to people a lot. That wasn't even when I was off my phone fully, but I didn't have it with me. But I was talking to people quite a bit, and the drugs were fucking great. Here's what I wanted to say, too. I got clear, you guys. I got real clear. That's what I noticed. I started doing more work for sure. So read a bunch of book, you know, read that, read some Adbusters. Couple copies of it. Love that magazine. Anarchist Art Magazine. I'll have an interview with Kelly Lassen, the editor of Adbusters. I think, let's just see when I'm going to have that out. Because I want to have that out before the day of Civil Disobedience, which is on the 13th of September. So I'll have that one out the 9th. So next week will be no podcast. It'll just be a Patreon podcast. Patreon.com/skeptic tank. And then the week after that, the 9th, I will have the Kelly Lassen interview. Talk about the revolution. It's a good one. Went to Vancouver. I made a special trip to Vancouver to get this interview. From Portland. I mean, I drove there. What was I going to say now? No, from Seattle. And by the way, guys, the Killers was so fucking sick. So he does this thing. First of all, he played a duo with the Pet Shop Boys. What was the name of the song? Something about Without You. God, that was a good song. Brought them out. Oh, You're Always on My Mind. You were always on my mind. And they came out in like these like Illuminati gowns. Dude, they were so good. So the Killers would do this thing where every like 35, 40 minutes, they would just play kind of a note for about a minute. And it gave you a chance to recover from all the jumping up and down and dancing you were doing. You'd be surprised how many hits the Killers have. I mean, you'd be surprised. Listen to this. Listen to this. I'm going to fucking... Is that even not YouTube? That's not YouTube. Okay, I'm going to try to get through this. So... he does that. He brings out these guest stars, Johnny Marr from the Smiths, to play some guitar on a Smith song. But that minute of silence, and dude, I mean, the festival has between 250 and 320,000 people. I think it's like 70,000 employees there. And the employees are like, Angus was like, same thing, where it's like, he's just... working so that he could do the festival. Some people got in on work. I guess I technically was too. I was doing my comedy gigs, the shitty comedy gigs, so I could get into the festival. And by the way, what I have heard about the comedy gigs is generally they're good. I was only on opposite the headliners when people are gacked out. The 2 p.m., the 5 p.m. shows, 6 p.m. shows are I've heard that that tent packs out and it's really good. So he'll have like a note. It's like it would him. And as they're like going around, moving around, at some point he goes off the stage. I think pees. Jimmy Carr comes out, just like sweeps up the stage. And all my friends are like, is that Jimmy Carr? I'm like, yeah, I think so. Talk to him later. And he goes, yeah, it was fun. What'd you think of, Billie Eilish? I'm like, she was fucking great. Everybody's there. Dua Lipa is there. And just the audience on someone's shoulders. It was the best weather. Anyway, we're all fucking... So it's that many people, but not everybody's on the main stage, right? Some people are out at the DJ tents. Not everybody likes the Killers. But it's 100,000 people. It's the pyramid stage. It's the one where... You ever see the Beyonce documentary about Glastonbury? It's that stage. That's why it hurt so much when I did so badly. I had just seen pieces of that Beyonce documentary, and my whole camp was talking about it, about how great it was, and I was talking about the pieces I had seen, and then it hit me like, dude, you're at the fucking Glastonbury Music Festival. This is where people like Beyonce pull out all stops. This is it. This is how you fucking make a name for yourself. We saw Lizzo. She killed so goddamn hard with just this positive attitude shit. If you ever get a chance to see Lizzo, do. She's great, dude. She is fucking great. But there's 35 bands that you'd want to see. And then another 300 that you've never even heard of. That are great enough to be at there. So anyway, they're playing this moment of the silence. You're talking about it, whatever. And then they come back with another song. And just like you get back into it again. And then there's this moment of silence. And the dude, fucking, what's his name? From the Killers. What the fuck's his name? Killers lead singer. He's real Mormon. By the way, Killers is Christian rock, just so you know. I was sure. I told my friends that. And they're like, no. I'm like, listen to the songs. And every song is either, it's every other song, Brandon Flowers. It's either, this doesn't say one way or the other. Like, it's never about doing drugs, where it'd be like, no, that's not a Christian song. It's either about, like, innocuous, like flowers, or you're like, that could go either way, or straight up, you can hear them singing about Jesus and they use it as his move, but as his muse. But once you hear it, you can't unhear it, but it doesn't matter because they rock so fucking hard that you're like, I don't care. You're passionate about it and it's great. So he plays that note, and he's standing there where the guitar is just playing like a long note, and he's standing there with one leg up on a monitor, a speaker, and he's kind of looking out of the crowd, and then with his elbow on his knee, he turns to the crowd. He's on the big screen now, and he just gives me a come on, like, bring it. And we didn't know what the fuck. We're in the middle of this. You turn around. I put my friend Erica on my shoulders and had her turn around, and just a sea of people. At some point, he goes, "Everybody, turn your fucking lights on," and you just see this like. I mean, it looked like stars because the pyramid field goes up and it looks like stars. There's so many people with their cell phone lights on. It's so cool. And so he's got his leg up, one leg up, saying, come on, give it to me. Bring it. Like with his motion with his hand. Bring it. This guy is a rock star. And he's just like standing there, not moving, standing next to the guitar. It's like, come on. Come on, like not saying it, just like motioning. Come on, come on, come on. Nobody did anything. They're kind of cheering more. He's just like smiling. Come on. Smiling more. People cheer, then stop cheering. Like, well, what do you want? What, I don't understand what you want. Come on. I mean, it was almost like 2 minutes to where I was like, what's going on here? And then to my right, and maybe up 20, I was in the UK, 20 meters and over about 60. You hear it starting. I got soul, but I'm not a soldier. I got soul, but I'm not a soldier. And then more people. It started catching on. I got soul, but I'm not a soldier. I got soul, but I'm not a soldier. Oh, I thought I was going to get through it. And then it gets more and more, and then it envelops us. And we're singing it. I've got soul, but I'm not a soldier. And then it's 100,000 people. Oh, my God damn it. And it's 100,000 people going, I got soul, but I'm not louder, louder. I got soul, but I'm not a soldier. And then, boom, the music kicks in. And he starts doing it. And I died. I left my soul there, man. I am fucking gone, and my soul is there, and a small part of me is back here in America. I wonder if that's a clip. I'm going to try to find that for the outro. I'll try to find that for the outro of this. It was amazing. They were so fucking good. Oh, fuck. Sorry, I had to pause for a second. It hits me every time. Every time there's a fight, I've just been looking at fucking... I paused. Sorry if you didn't realize, because it goes and immediately starts again. Do you know Harvey Weinstein is just out, by the way? you know, everyone's like... compares every other Me Too thing to Harvey Weinstein. They're like, well, it's not as bad as Harvey Weinstein, but this... Harvey Weinstein's not in jail, and he's going to bars. Did you know that? He goes out. He can't control his own company anymore. I don't know if he makes money off the Weinstein company or not, but like, or if he had to sell his interests and make a lot of money, but he goes out to bars and drinks out. I know a waitress, and she was like, her and the other staff didn't want to serve him. And the manager was like, hey, his money's, they didn't like the manager, to be honest, but like, his money's as green as anybody else's. And they're like, I don't want to serve that guy. Yeah, he's just out. So let me tell you this too about it. I think I've covered a lot of what I've done in that month. Montreal was good. I did go straight from... to Indianapolis. Oh my God, I fucking spent time with Miss Pat and her fucking family. She's goddamn crazy. She's goddamn crazy. So I didn't really get back on my phone until the 5th. No, 5th I went to Milwaukee. The 6th, August 6th. Went a little longer, almost another month. Almost another week, I mean, after I went to Chicago. Went to the fucking bleachers at Wrigley. God damn, it was fun. Do you know at Wrigley Field? I asked the bouncer guy. I'm like, hey, you know at Citi Field where the Mets play, you can't take your shirt off? Can you do that here? And he goes, yeah, what do you mean? Of course you can take your shirt off if you want. I'm like, really? And off it came. I live by the rule of the land, and the rule of the land says, sun's out, guns out. So here's what happens to me. When I go traveling, and the same thing happened to me when I was off my phone. It also happens to me when I go take a schwitz, actually, at like a sauna. My mind starts racing. I don't have any distractions, not even books. And my mind starts going. Same thing happened to me when I was at Vipassana meditation retreat. They say you're supposed to like clear your head, right? So there's some walking meditation, for instance. And for the walking meditation, you're supposed to like concentrate on your heel hitting the ground and then your toe hitting the ground. And then at the same time, heel hitting the ground, other foot, back foot, heel come up, front foot, toe go down, back foot, toe comes up. Now that's the front foot, heel go down, heel come up on the other side, toe go down, toe come up off the ground. And you're just supposed to go like toe down, toe, heel down, toe up. And just over and over again, clearing your head, just concentrating on staying present. Oh, my foot's hitting the ground. My foot's hitting the ground. There's my foot's hitting the ground, and onwards and onwards and onwards. And you get. Did that cut out for a minute? How long did I fucking take that thing? I was talking about if it cut out. I was talking about meditation and how you just like concentrate on your feet hitting the ground, or if you're laying down in the pose, you know, or sitting. I mean, sitting up in the pose, just like my knees, my elbows are on my knees. I feel my forehead. I feel my eyes. I feel my nose without my hands. You know, just like thinking about it, and just thinking about how you feel and staying present. And as you do that, as you clear your mind of all thought, for me anyway, thoughts rushed into my head, filled with thoughts of revenge and sexuality. And they even give you the tips on how to like get rid of those thoughts. So sexual thoughts, they go, okay, you're starting to think about a woman. But I was like, wow, this fucking old Buddhist monk telling us, if you have sexual thoughts, here's how you get rid of them. So you can go back to clear. You think about a woman, let's say, for my instance, a woman, right? You say, well, we're all temporary on this earth. She'll become old. Think about that same woman when she's 80. Then think about her 30 years in the future from there, when she's in the ground. Now 30 more years, worms are going through her eye sockets, and she's like got a little bit of skin left, and it's all decrepit, and now your boner's gone. Should be anyway. And now it's like that's no longer sexuality there. That person will become this piece of dirt. And now back to foot down, foot up, toe down, toe up, you know. But when I take a schwitz also, it's like, I mean, sweat in Yiddish. I get these rush of thoughts. But when I travel, I get clear. And I did a lot of traveling this month. And I was also off the phone. And I think the combination of the two things, not I shouldn't just say the phone, off technology. Because I was off screens. I was off. I even had a thing where like, so the fun thing was I went to did I go to Portland? No, I went to Indianapolis, hung out with Pat. Shoot. Oh, this mom, his mama a crack baby. He's a crack baby. His mama a crackhead. Oh my God. They were like, looked at me like, who the fuck is this white kid? And they're like, you play spades? I'm like, yeah, I play spades. Like, how do you know how to play spades? I'm like, I kind of worked with black people at a fucking cemetery. Like, oh, let's play spades then right now then. And I'm like, yeah, bring it out. I beat Miss Pat in spades. Me and her daughter. Beat her and her daughter, her other daughter. Suck on that, Miss Pat. And then I lost the next one pretty bad. But flew to Indy. Went right to Miss Pat's house. The next day, took a long hike. So here's how I did the hike. I got a GPS on my. I drove from Indy to Chicago and Chicago to Milwaukee. It was just as cheap. It was like $10 more to have the car instead of just dropping it off in Chicago. $10 more to keep it for another 4 days and return it to Milwaukee. Maybe $20 more, whatever. And you know how I love going hiking in nature. And so what I would do is, because I couldn't look up, usually I go to All Trails. It's a great website, great app, All Trails. If you're looking for a hike near you or near an area, it tells you all the hikes. It tells you the elevation ups and downs. It tells you the moderate, hard, easy, if it's a loop trail, if it's an out and back, the details of the trail, what to be aware of. It's a really good site. Didn't have that. All I had was a GPS, which I kind of... By the way, me and Robert Kelly were doing this day one. Oh, I forgot a lot of stuff. We went fishing, fly fishing. So much fucking fun. Oh, my God. Early on. And he has all the equipment and shit, you know. And we're out there, and I'm wearing my cave shoes that somebody sent me once. Holes in rubber shoes with holes in them. And the water's so warm, and we're fly fishing. I caught a fish. And on the way home, we're looking for a subway stop because I'm not going to have enough time to get back all the way to the cellar. It's a long drive. If I take the Metro North train southbound. But instead we're like, dude, just a little bit past your house is a fucking subway stop. The C train or something, or the one, like way, way north, you know, and just take the subway down instead of the Metro North. And he's like, well, where is it? And he got lost. And he's like, here, hold the thing. And I'm looking at the directions. And as I'm looking at the directions, I hadn't been on the phone for really any screens except for TV with my lady and a GPS. And even then, I'm not staring at it, but I'm staring at his iPhone. And after a bit, I'm like, I don't like this anymore, Robert. Take it from me. It made me feel bad just even looking at the ways. Anyway, Chicago was fun as shit. We got drunk a shitload. No phone. Got, yeah. Found out somehow about a death in the comedy scene. That was really sad. Yeah, my friend just got an email saying, like, your girlfriend said she needs you to call her. So do you want to borrow my phone? This is already, like, what was this? Sunday, Saturday, August 3rd or 4th. August 3rd, 2nd or 3rd. Anyway, it was over, and I used his phone, and I found out about this death, but whatever. But still stayed off it. And so as I was driving to find a trail, here's what I would do. I would just use the GPS that came in the car. Not in the car, but, you know, the Garmin. And I would just make it smaller and smaller, the land, until I saw a big swath of green. And then when I saw that, I'm like, I'm heading there. I'm heading to this swath of green. Or if it's on the way, I would do the same thing. The idea that I couldn't do the things I want to do because of, you know, no Jeep, no all trails, no apps, didn't really hold me back. It was a few hikes too. I found one. I found these later. But I would just look at green, and then I would drive around till I saw what like kind of looked like a trail entrance. One time I found a whole fucking national park. Something lunch trail. DFW. Lake County Forest Preserve. Brownsville County State Park. Yep, Brownsville County State Park. That's where I went hiking. That one's outside Indianapolis, I think. Or is it Milwaukee? I think Indy. Do you guys ever talk to your GPS? You ever get so bored that you don't yell at it in a fun way, but you actually like, what do you think? No, I don't know if that's like really have a full talk. Yeah, me neither. Lake County Forest Preserve, Brownsville County State Park. Oh, then there's a shit swampy one too. I went to one bad one, two good ones. But there was hella hiking in Brownsville County State Park. That was great. I got lost for a while out there. That was really good. Anyway, my point is this. I get clear. If you ever heard me get into trouble in an interview right after I went, like, I don't know, Europe for 2 months on a tour or come back from Southeast Asia, it's because my mind is fucking open and I'm not held down by responsibilities and all the fucking evils of the internet. All the fucking negativity. Instead, I'm just like talking and saying, hi. People were telling me stories. That Jeffrey Epstein thing, missed it. I heard it a little bit from comedians on stage. I was pieced together the story. There was another one too that I was like, I don't even know what you guys are talking about. It's just like these things don't hit me when I'm not online. It was quite pleasant. Or anyway, lack of negative. Instead of maybe pleasant, but lack of bad. It really was. I did go to Schwitz the other day. It was an all-men section, which I normally... The first time I went to the all-men, it was like... They have different blocks. They have an all-woman block, and they have two all-men blocks. And then every other time is co-ed. And one time, they're like, it's all-men today. I'm like, no, okay, I'm a man, so it doesn't really matter. There's no difference. Sometimes a girl will take her shirt off, and you like look for a second, like, oh my God. But then it's like so hot that you're like, who gives a fuck? But when it's all men, it becomes a bit gay. It really does. Even the Hasidic Jews that go, it's the gay ones. And they put up their iPhones over the door jams and it's like playing disco music. It's just kind of gay. And they're like, you can take your shorts off. You don't have to have your shorts on. It's only men. I'm like, you want it too much. I'm leaving them on. But they're so casual. Gays are so casual with their sex talk. They were just in the locker room, and it was like one was leaving, one was about to change, and they were just talking about their sexual preference, and it was like, one guy was like, I need a man to like hold me down, like, or like to put his hand on my throat and choke me, and then this other guy was like, no, see, now, what I would do is I would do that to you while I had my body pressed against yours holding you down, and the guy was like, yeah, right, exactly, and I'm just like, Jesus, you guys, you're in public. It's not a gay thing. It's just like sexuality. Fucking have some shame. But the point is, I get clear. And I think really clearly, because all the noise drops away. It's this clutter. It's this general clutter. And it's gone. During this time too, by the way, the month off. So after I started reading a bunch, I'll get back to this clutter in a second, but started reading a bunch. I got bored of that. No Netflix to watch, you know, called Nick Yusuf. If you want to see that Spider-Man, it's only for kids. The one where he's in another country. That's for 14-year-olds. Eventually I just started doing work on my hour. I just started like taking my note cards out and try to organize like the direction of this material and like figure out how much is personal and how much is halacha and how much is social norms. And making sure I'm hitting each thing with these bits and like how much am I covering in each thing? How much of it is my Judaism versus how much is an explanation of Judaism in general versus how much of this is not law, but like, you know, the cheapness. There's no law to cheapness, but that's a norm of Jews. The sickness and the worrying about bodily function, that's a norm. That's not a halacha. Halacha is thou shalt not kill, or halacha is like the kosher. That's a rule. Halacha is a law. And then like me having like my first bacon and stuff like that, that's a personal thing. And I started doing a bunch of work on the act, and it was really quite great. And I'm able to focus on it because I'm thinking so clearly. That's how I get when I travel. And this was like a travel from my real life. Lake County Forest Preserve, Brownsville County State Park, that shitty swampy one. And one of the things I got clear about, people were asking me after shows in Indy. The shows were really fun in Indy. Miss Pat did guest spots. The crowd went nuts. Especially that first one. They had no idea. I think the word got out a little bit before the second one. But they went nuts. And she came out. I mean, that's her town is Indy. She runs that town for comedy. The Milwaukee show was really good. This guy, Sam Talent, who did the Unrep show that I hosted in Montreal. He was in town and he opened for me and crushed. God, that guy had a good set. Sam Talent really fucking killed it. But people were asking me after shows, obviously lots of stuff, but it's been a theme for a couple months now, or in Indy, in Milwaukee. Where else was I before that? I guess nowhere. Oh, yeah, for sure. In Cardiff, at Glastonbury, at Skankfest for sure. In Columbus, Ohio, in all these places, they'd ask the same question. What are you going to do for Sober October? And I know it's something that Rogan was thinking of, Bert was thinking of. I don't know if Tom's been thinking about it. I think he is, trying to come up with some challenge, right? So here's what I realized with my clarity. I was able to see it for what it was. We have been doing this for 4 years, I believe. 3 or 4 years. The first year, 2016, was the challenge of who could lose the most weight, Bert or Tom. If they could both get below obese. We came up with a plan. Whoever loses the most weight, the one who loses the least amount of weight pays for the other one and me to go to a sporting event of the winner's choice, whatever the winner wanted to choose, not some random one, but whatever the winner wanted to choose. And then Tom pointed out justifiably, he's like, why is Ari involved in this? What are you giving up? And I was like, tell you what, if you both become non-obese for 3 straight days, so you don't cut weight, don't cut water weight, 3 straight days, weigh in and under obese, both of you, then I will pay for both of you and me to go to a sporting event of the winner's choice. And they weighed in 2 days, not three, but I allow it. And they both weighed in at under obese. Luckily, just for fairness sake, under obese meaning from the BMI standpoint. Bert pointed out that Tom had been lying about being 6'1". He's actually 5'11" and some change. And so Joe Rogan obviously was rooting for Tom in that one and refused to. BMI, if you don't know, body mass index, it's a measurement of two different factors, weight and height. And Rogan was only measuring weight, saying Tom was not obese. And I'm like, no, he's 2 inches shorter. He goes, what's the difference, 2 inches? I'm like, honestly, I think he beat not obese by about like a quarter of an inch in the end. If he had had, I think, two more pounds, he would have been obese. He was meddling in an election. Rogan. Vladimir Rogan. Meddling in our elections. But just like our American elections, didn't work. Didn't matter because Tom wasn't obese. And I happily paid off the bet. He wanted to go to a national championship game. And it cost me fucking, because of Bert's fucking loss. He lost it. I had to fly them both and get them both tickets to the national championship game. One of the biggest ones ever. Alabama, Georgia. Less than 50 miles, less than an hour from each of their campuses. It was the most rabid, crazy game. And what a game it was. And it cost me $12,000. It cost me $12,000. By the way, I wasn't doing as well as I am now. That's when I was making $1,800 a week on the road. Selling t-shirts to bring it up to 2,000. Like doing 20 weeks a week on the road. You know, I was getting by, and I spent $12,000 to pay off that bet. By the way, Joe Rogan is also, according to BMI, obese. What I would love to see is Joe Rogan at my BMI. People are like, no, you're underweight. Like, I'm in the middle of it, bro. I'm exactly where I should be. I'm a 22.4. I weigh 177. 177.5, let's say. Although it was 177.2 today. 22.5, normal BMI. But it cost me a bunch of money, and that's fine. I don't care. But Bert lost. It was a challenge, and he lost. And then the next year, we did yoga, hot yoga challenge, which, by the way, just started with the idea that Bert couldn't get sober. It went from the fucking weight loss. He gained all that weight back, all of it. And then can he get sober was the next year. And we were like, no, you can't. You drink way too much. And so somehow, I don't know how, but somehow it went from fucking Bert getting sober to me having to do hot yoga every other day for the entire October and me also being sober. No alcohol, no weed, the things that I can handle. Joe Rogan can handle alcohol. He drinks on occasion. I drink on occasion. Tom Segura drinks on occasion. We're not problem drunks who don't spend time with our kids because of our fucking addiction. And all the weight Bert lost, Tom lost it and kept it off. He probably gained 10 pounds back, maybe. Looking good, dude. He's looking good. I'm proud of him. And I'm proud of how I motivated him to get in shape. How his continued health and his longer life is because of me and the efforts I made to drive Tom to a healthier lifestyle. Not fucking Brad, Brent, whatever. He put the weight right back on. And he makes jokes. Oh, it's a shellfish reaction. But you're a fat fuck. And I'm not. I'm at my target weight. 175 to 180. That's where I want to be. Where was I? Oh, wait a minute. 177.2 this morning. 2 days ago, 177.2 as well. I'm there where I should be. I am not a problem. And so we did hot yoga. You have to do it every day. And who came in last in that? Bert, tied for last. And then the next year, we had to do it again. And then we did the fucking workout challenge last year. And I somehow came in second. I don't know how, behind Rogan. which was to me a win. I mean, he's major league and I'm minor league, and I made it a not close, really. He ran away with it. I caught up towards the end, but it was already over. But to come in second, to beat Bert and to beat Tom, Bert was close. Tom was in last. So that's one, the weight loss challenge to begin with. Last. Yoga challenge. Last. Last. The heart rate monitor thing. Last again. And then he fucking suggests we do his thing. He says we should do the fucking silly dance contest that benefits him. You've lost every time you've done it. And you have the gall to suggest something. And when I made one suggestion, which by the way is the right one, I made some joke videos about flossing. Let's do a flossing challenge. I was going to do one. It's called So Bombed October, where you should do how many drinks you could have and like bring in like drugs and stuff and how many points you get for other drugs. Let's get more drunk. I like drinking. I like doing drugs. I do them well. I don't have a problem. It does not get in the way of my life. So anyway, my suggestion was let's get offline. That's the reason I did this podcast. The reason this podcast is around right now, this episode, is because I decided, listen, what we should do is we should get off smartphones for a month. That's what we should do. Mental health. And this shit, we all know, all the social media is bringing us down. And they fought me on it, obviously, especially Bert, because he's like, I can't use this to promote. He's using this thing to promote, to make himself bigger. But guess what? He's benefiting from that promotion, but I'm not. I'm losing because I value something that Bert does not value, my anonymity. I like being anonymous. I don't like being at music festivals and being gacked out on drugs and having people recognize me. I give up something to be part of this. Bert loses and gains. He loses the challenge and he gains what he likes doing, which is promoting nonstop. All the time he should be with his family, he's putting them on film. I give up my anonymous ability to walk around like I like and observe people. I am not an extrovert like him. I'm an introvert, and I like being anonymous, and I give that up to be part of this. And he suggests what he does? Fuck him. He's put the weight back on every year. He is fatter than ever. This whole thing started to get him to stop drinking, and he's drinking more than ever. He brought Mark Norman on the road with him to Europe, and Mark asked me, Ari, what am I going to... Mark Norman is a drinker. Mark Norman got me into drinking in New York as much as I do. Him and Hanley and Sam Morril, hanging out with him late night at the Cellar, got me into fucking Bullet Bourbon on the rocks, Bullet Rye on the rocks. It's a fucking good drink, and I enjoyed being drunk with those guys. And Joe Mackey, I enjoyed being drunk with them. They were fun drunks, but they went hard a lot. And that guy, Mark Norman, was scared. He literally told me he was frightened to keep up with Bert Kreischer. How do I do it? And I said, one, you got to pour drinks out when he's not looking. You got to pour shit in like planners and stuff. So he hasn't slowed down at all. This whole idea of Sober October, remember with Sober October, was to get him to not be so unhealthy. And it has not worked. He just takes a small break and then goes right back to it. So why are we still doing this? It's cost me money. It's cost me my anonymity. And you've lost nothing, Bert. You lost every single time. And you gave up nothing. You get drunk when you're on a plane in the morning, when no one should be getting drunk. I get drunk when I'm out in social environments with friends, when it is enjoyable to take the edge off. So I said, let's get offline. Let's get flip phones. But obviously, that's not fair, right? Because I already have a flip phone. I already have that. So that's not fair. So I said, I'll go one step further. You guys go to a flip phone, use your computers from home, and I'll go off everything. I'll do exactly what I did this in July. I'll go off everything. I'll go to a landline. You guys just go to a flip phone. I'll go to a landline. No computer. Flip phone and computer for you. Landline, no computer for me. To keep it even. And they fought it because Bert can't fucking promote himself this way. And he's still suggesting that we should do his thing. I've lost thousands of dollars. I've lost my anonymity. And he has come in last or tied for last in every one of these. And he continues to suggest stuff that he should wants to do. Bullshit. At least when Rogan suggests we do a running challenge, obviously it's not fair, but at least that's coming for someone who won the last year. So you think, yeah, there's at least it's justified why that person who won suggests what we should do. Or the person who didn't take steroids and won, you know, fair and square says we should get offline. But, oh, Bert can't promote. So we can't do something healthy for us because Bert can't promote. Well, guess what, Bert, you fat fuck? You put every goddamn pound back on, you fat motherfucker. We're going to still be doing the Sober October 6 years from now, but it's going to be a goddamn Memorial Sober October Challenge every year. The Bert Kreischer Memorial Sober October Challenge. Because you're never living to 60. There's no fucking way. Look at Ralphie, bro. That's your future. For sure. So no, we're not going to do your thing. We're absolutely not going to do your thing. So here's my suggestion. Here's what I say, and it's take it or fucking leave it. You've come in last every fucking year, you fat fuck. You drink more than you ever have before. A hard drinker, Mark Norman, fell by the wayside in fear of hanging out with you. You drink more than ever, and you're fatter than ever. You're an obese pig. So I say, you do my thing, and you do Joe's thing, and you do Tom's thing. You've come in last every year, and now it's time for you to challenge each and every one of us. And my challenge is a reading challenge, you illiterate piece of shit, garbage, Florida trash. I'll read 2 pages and beat you, because I don't believe you know how to read. That's what I'm challenging you to, a reading challenge. Rogan, you can challenge him whatever the fuck you want to challenge him to, and Tom, you can challenge him to whatever the fuck you want to challenge him to. I don't give a fuck. No, I do. I'll take interest in it. But I'm not doing it. One-on-one, Bert, you should challenge each and every one of us because you failed every time. You're a fucking failure at losing weight. You're a failure at not drinking. And you're a failure at Sober October Challenge. You do it in letter of the law only and nothing to do with the spirit. It hasn't helped you at all in your life. So yes, a reading challenge is what we're doing. I will get suggestions of some books that I have not read that I'm interested in. I already know some that I should do. Me and Adrian are starting a fucking book club. So yeah, let's do that. I'll make a list of fucking 5 books you can add to it. Nah, I don't believe you're going to suggest that. Yeah, it could be fucking Timmy and the Turtle Play Soccer on your reading level. Page for page. Let's see who reads the most pages. That's my challenge to you. And obviously I'll win because I'm smart and you are dumb. You went to college for 7 years and never graduated. You've parlayed it into a nice career. So yeah, every one of us, Bert, every one of us you should beat. And then if you can beat all 3 of us individually, then next year, 2020, right before Trump gets reelected, then, is that the year? Then you can have a fair fight the year after that. That's what I suggest, and that's a take it or leave it, or I'm not interested in doing this. You fail every year and you keep doing it. You keep pulling this in this garbage thing. I don't want to be sober for October in New York. It's the best drinking month of the year. I have no interest in it. I never had any interest in it. I drink responsibly. I've drank with Rogan before. He drinks responsibly. He doesn't have a weight problem, even though technically he is obese. Tom Segura is not obese anymore. He doesn't have a weight problem. He definitely doesn't have a drinking problem, and he definitely doesn't have a drug problem. If anything, he's got a problem not doing enough drugs. At least me and Rogan fucking party like fucking real people. We smoke pot. What the fuck is wrong with you, Tom? Why don't you ever smoke pot? You have like a hit. Get ripped, bro. Rogan takes acid and fucking handles it like a man. Do you know what I did in fucking Glastonbury and handled it? So that's my challenge. That's my fucking challenge, bro. Or I'm not interested in doing this. It doesn't help me at all. And honestly, I give up something in my life. Reading challenge with me. Rogan, chime in. Challenge them whatever the fuck you want. Pool challenge. Fishing challenge. Whatever. Tom, whatever. How about a loving your kid challenge that Bert will lose? I mean, honestly, I'm sick of it. I'm fucking sick of it. He's a fat fuck. And we're ruining our lives so he can promote his fucking self. And all our lives are worse off for knowing him. So yes, you challenge each and every one of us individually now. Reading challenge. I'll pick a book out right fucking now. Here, here's two my mom gave me. Okay. The Silent Patient and Where the Crawdads Fly. That's two. There's an Amos Oz book that's supposed to be really good. I forget what the name of that is. We can do that. But we'll start in October. That's my thing. You're either in or you're out. Challenge each one of us. You get the most out of it, and you do nothing to earn it. You do nothing to earn it. There is no way you see. You'll see the next president. You won't see the president after that. No fucking way. Not at this rate. And honestly, if you beat us all, you should go to therapy instantly for your fucking weight loss. Your weight gain, excuse me. You're not healthy, dude. No one thinks you are. It's fun. The same way John Candy was fun. How's he doing these days? Yeah, I'm fucking sick of it. I have no interest in it. Why would I even go sober? The whole point of us going sober that first year was to help you, dude. To help you get your life back on track. For health. You're doing great financially and creatively. I'll admit it. Your Instagram is fucking great. You do stuff online that you manage to meld promotion and entertainment at the same time. Like, I don't think I've seen anybody do that. But health-wise, you're awful. And we're all fine. So I'm out. I'm out unless you're actually willing to fucking do this shit with us. Challenge each of us and don't come in last. That's mine. Reading. It's very simple. A fucking reading challenge. I'm not going to challenge you to get offline because I know you can't do it because I know that's your thing. It's promoting. Reading. We'll make a list of books. You can choose any of the books from that list. We can narrow it down. We can all read the same books. We can do different ones. It's per page. And I really do believe I'll beat you at two pages. I'm not sure you know how to read. I think you do talks to text. And that's the only way you manage to get anything done. And you tell Leanne, like, write this down for me. I've seen you spell. Your R's are backwards. Your capital R's. If you want me to give up my anonymity, if you want me to have to go into festivals and worry that somebody's going to fucking in the middle of when I'm tripping out at fucking Dead & Co. And have to worry about some guy's like, are you Ari Shaffir? Because of my relationship with you? I can't do the fun things I want to do, which requires fucking blending in because I'm helping you and I'm not even helping you. You're just as fucking gross and fat. Dude, your stomach is disgusting. It's pushed out on a level that doesn't even make any sense. Like physically. I mean like physics wise. So that's it. Joe, Tom, pick something out. Challenge this motherfucker. If he's not interested in doing it, then I'm not interested in doing it. I'm going to live my fucking life. Because we did this to help him get in shape, and it has not worked. He's coming last in every one of these challenges. Last in weight loss. Congratulations, Tom. Short Tom. Under 6 feet. Last in hot yoga. Tied for last. Last in the fucking cardio workout. Congratulations, Joe, for getting it done. That 6,000 day you had when you were hunting was crazy good. And you know who made him do that? Fucking Bert did. You talk trash. Otherwise, I actually had a chance to win that thing. I had a fucking chance to win that thing. And you had to talk trash. You had to poke the fucking bear. That's fucking you're posting up against Gary Goldman or some guy who's fucking big. You don't fucking elbow him. You talk nicely and hope he goes to the 3-point line. You dumb fuck. He must know how to read. He must. He's on Twitter nonstop. He's on Instagram nonstop, reading every single comment. Getting mentally deranged. So he must know how to read a bit. Shantaram, I've always wanted to read that. On the Road. I'll read On the Road. For sure. The Unbearable Lightness of Being. That's on my list. Tom Robbins. What's that one? Even Cowgirls Got the Blues. Let's do that, dude. I'm just looking at this fucking bookshelf of books I really want to read. I'll read The Fountainhead again. Do some good. To see what a fucking real artist is supposed to look like. Here's one. Susan Cain, Quiet. It's about introversion. You should understand what you're doing to my life to be associated with you. How much you're diminishing the value of my life to be associated with you. So that's it. I'm fucking out. I'm out. I'm out of this. Unless you're willing to step up and actually be a man and take responsibility for your losses, both in the challenge and the result of what happens afterwards. I'm not getting sober anymore for a guy who has no interest in fucking... You talked about it on my podcast, how you realize when you were sober the whole month, how you actually spend more time with your children. And then you go right back to being hungover every day. You've got me in so much trouble for the shit you've said drunk that you and I both know we said. I'm not going to go into it here. You and I both know. Because I know you're going to hear this. You get me riled up in my head. And then I go off sober, clear from travel, and then I speak my mind, and I catch the flack that you should have caught. That's it. That's my challenge. Take it or leave it. So now I'm done. I'm done with that month of fucking not having any technology. And what I've taken from it, unlike Brent... is I'm actually using something in my life. I found the joy in it, and I'm like, okay, so I'm not going to go off my phone and do that shit forever, right? I'm not. I can't. It was a month. It was a month challenge to myself. By the way, you guys, so now I'll bring it to you. If you want, if you like the idea of this, but you're like, I can't do this because I got to have the email for work. I can't do that because I have to be doing this. There's small steps. There's... no social media. Or how about this? I mean, as small a step as you want. No Instagram on days with full moons. No Instagram on Wednesdays. Take it off your phone and don't touch it for one day. And see how much, because I've done this with advertising, where I try to look away from advertising, as Adbusters tells me to do. And I have to notice how much I have to actually look away. I tried for the full moon this month. And I failed a few times. I used my phone. I was like, I have to get on. But I was aware and I was mindful of how I'm failing. So what I've decided is like, what can I take from this? So like, so I'm saying, if you want to do that, try one thing. It doesn't have to be as much as me. Obviously, I'm in a different things I got going on. I have a manager's assistant who can run my email or Kelly who can like say, hey, you have to return this email. This person needs a fucking answer on this. I'm like, well, what are they asking? Oh, tell them yes or tell them no, they got to wait. You know, my manager's like, all right, we have an audition. It's like, all right, well, send the script to Avalon. I'll go to the Avalon office. They'll print it up and I'll get it on hard copy. But I get it. Not everybody can do that. So email, fine. So take the other shit off your phone for a week. Figure out what's a challenge to you. And if you fail, you'll be mindful of the fact that you're failing. You'll notice it, and that'll help you in life. That'll be able to be like, oh, shit, I am a little more addicted to this than I thought I was, and maybe you'll pull back more. So here's what I'm doing. I'm not touching technology until noon. Granted, sometimes I wake up afternoon. So then if that happens, I try not to do it before I've like taken a shit. I'll write in a journal, or I'll write some material, or I'll even like read. I'll catch up. I still got like two episodes behind on Adbusters, and it's only once a month. Once every 2 months, excuse me. Or I'll just get some coffee. Or I'll walk around. I'll go walk to the fucking dog park and look at dogs. But until noon, I don't touch my phone. I don't touch my computer until noon, every day. And then on full moons, I get off all of it. The next full moon is September 14th. So September 14th, that's a Saturday. I'm off all of it. You can't reach me. I just get in touch with... It's not about like getting in touch with the moon. It's about using that as an excuse. That has nothing to do with the work week. It just has to do with like nature. Using that as an excuse to like clear my head. That is one nice thing about Jews, Orthodox Jews, is that on Friday night to Saturday night, Friday night sundown to Saturday night sundown, we can't touch any of the electricity stuff. It's either on or it's off. We don't watch TV, and it does help you clear your head. You end up talking to friends and hanging out, getting back to the things that we all value. We all value that more. You know we do. And we're all taken away. It's not a single one of you listening, and myself included, has gone 3 days of meals without somebody in the middle of a conversation, in the middle of a meal, disappearing to go be with someone else in a virtual world and not just being there with you. That boredom you get sparks thought. That boredom you get, for me, it sparked thought. It sparked like, I'm bored. I would go to my phone. I would go to my YouTube. I would do something like that. Instead, I'm like, fuck, now that boredom is sticking, what do I do? Oh, let me get my notes out of my fucking special and try to organize them. So, also, if I'm going out with my girlfriend, I leave my phone at home. I don't need it. I don't need it at all. What if we get separated? Okay, that's a minor what if. That's, you know, that's a minor what if. Also, so she got me, she surprised me with tickets to, I love New York, man. I love New York. Mighty, mighty Bosstown tickets on a fucking Wednesday. She said, keep Wednesday clear. I'm okay. Didn't have any spots that night. Perfect. And she said it like 2 weeks out. And she said, I'm going to pick out an outfit for you. Okay. And I had no idea what was happening. She picked out a fucking black shirt, cut off jeans, black chucks and black socks. She put that on. I'm like, okay. No idea. Walked across town to Webster Hall. Saw a fucking fun ska band play their hearts out. They really enjoyed what they're playing. Dropped some Molly. Had a fucking good time. Walked around the city. Did a little criminal activity. And just really enjoyed myself in the city. It was fucking great. I didn't need my phone. If we got separated at Webster Hall, you know what's going to happen? We're both going to stand there until we find each other. If they kick us all out, then we'll stand in the front. And if they're not around after that, then you get worried and you run home. You see if they're there. It's like, what are you talking about? What if I can't find them? Then what? Then go get some pizza by yourself. And you'll figure it out. But like, I don't know. It's not that big a deal. Me, I have to keep notes for fucking stand-up. It's when I think of something for stand-up, I want to write that down. I carry a notebook, a Moleskine notebook. That's it. What if there's an emergency? What if my kid dies? Then he's dead. You ain't helping. You'll mourn when you find out. That's always a thing. When I went to Asia, they're like, my mom was like, what if something happens? And obviously we know what that means. What if a relative dies? I don't need to mourn the day of. When I find out in 4 months, it will hurt just as much. Maybe even more. And I will mourn then. It doesn't matter. There's, what, a blood transfusion that you're going to get to in no time? Come on. It's not a real thing. So I leave it at home. Those are two things I do to try to like combat falling right back into the same habits. I just leave it at home. And that's even a flip phone, dude. And I'm sorry about that rant. I was angry. However, if you want to like make that into any sort of clip, if you're listening and you know how to do that, Photoshop any sort of weird shit over that in the clip, by all means. Make a bunch of like different pictures. Or video, I don't know, whatever. Anyway, overall, I think it was a a great experience. It really, really did kind of help me like pull back from doing this shit too much. I had a great month. I was really connected to my friends. You know, I couldn't text, but it just made me, I still had that like need for social interaction. So I would find it in reality instead of in a virtual world. I would go out with my friends. I would go walking. I would call people like, let's meet tonight. I'd see people at the Cellar and I'd be like, let's hang out. I just wouldn't disappear from conversations because I felt something pulling at me from another place, another world. And of course, there are some people who are going to be angry at me for not returning their texts. That's a negative. I'm going to deal with that. But overall, I don't know. I felt like I got my life back a little bit and it was just really great. I feel really clear and really happy at the end of that month. And I want to hold on to that as much as I can. So it was a fucking great month. I got to finish this special. I got to promote this special and finish it. But once I'm done with the last date, I don't know. I might just like completely go out of social media and just give that to someone else. I might say I'm doing well enough. I might take it over just to promote the special. Maybe not. I don't even know, man. It's like, what's the cost of doing extra ticket sales? I don't want to be one of those guys who's promoting nonstop and has no life. You know, it's just like, it's gross to me. It's fine for some people. I find it, for me, like, I don't want that. I don't want that life. It's not me. It's just not me. That's all. It's not good or bad. I shouldn't put any judgment calls on it, but it's just not me. You know, if I do country music and they're like, Roxanne, well, enjoy rock because I'm going to stay doing country. All right, but that's it. So I don't know. I might do this more than – I might do this every year just for myself. I'm not going to do it to challenge anybody or do promotion. And maybe I'll do one where it's like a week every something. And yeah, maybe I'll do something like that. I remember we talked about this in Jim and Sam once. I don't think Jim was there, but I think it was Schulz actually. Andrew. We're talking about having like a week offline and doing whatever you can. I remember that's a long time ago. Yeah. And maybe I'll do that once a month. I don't know. But I'm going to fight against falling back into the same habit, unlike some people who go right back into the habits they've always had, dragging their friends into some fucking thing. I'm going to fight against that, and despite it costing me probably hundreds of thousands of dollars, it's not a joke. I mean, at least thousands, tens of thousands of dollars in lack of ticket sales for not being on there so much. I'll have a life, and I'm doing great. I'm doing fine. I have a Patreon now. There's going to be money coming in from that. Please sign up for my Patreon, Skeptic Tank. To get extra episodes like these. So I did one. I did it already. I'll post it in a week on there. And it's a mailbag episode. We just did a bunch of all the mailbag stuff. And from now on, I'm going to check the mailbag, not from contact@arishafir.com, which is what, you know, the feedback email is, but right on the Patreon. You can write me right on there. There's a direct message thing. And you could write questions, and it's just a mailbag. Like, you know, what do you it could be like, I actually need an answer, like me being you. I need an answer on, like, so one was like, what should I do in Israel when I'm there? Okay. But it could also be like, you know, what do you think of Jeffrey Epstein? I already went into that last week in the intro. But, like, could be something like that. And so I'll do those until I can think of, like, other stuff to do for the Patreon episodes. But I don't know. I'll give you content for it. And you'll be assisting me live my life the way I want to live it, so I can just concentrate on stand-up comedy and not this other shit. Not what tweet to make, not what fucking Instagram video to make. I just want to do stand-up. And this podcast, I like it too. But I just want to do that. And I mean, you guys will keep me in business. I'm gold. You know, that's all I need.
I wake up in the morning. First thing I do is look at a screen. At a screen. Wanna live freely, why isn't it so easy? I should read a book, but I keep watching this TV. And I know this lifestyle doesn't really feed me. I just tune out to the voice inside the speaking.
All my little problems keep on building up. All right, well, that's the episode. That's it. That's what I did. I had a fucking really clear experience. I enjoyed it. I am going to do it again. It was difficult, and then it oddly got easier. I started getting used to not having that stuff, and I mean, I was used to it once a long time ago. Of course, I'm conscious and cognizant of not being the guy who's like, when my day, we had things better. We didn't have the screens. We didn't have the boob tube. I don't want to be that guy, but at the same time, on some level, I don't care. I know I gotta get shit done. We all gotta get shit done. But then I'm faced with this other thing of like, it makes me less happy. So I guess what's important in life? I mean, there's a difference between happy and fulfilled. For sure, it's not the same thing. Parents are more fulfilled than single people, but less happy. By the way, you can argue with that, but that's just medical research has shown that. If you argue with it, it's because you don't want to accept what, again, scientific study has found. But fulfillment, sure, absolutely. And so, like, if I have to work really hard on a special as I'm working on Jew, which is coming up, guys, it's going great right now. It really is going great. Definitely see, I'm not going to be doing it in Vegas at the Cellar. I'll just be doing, like, 15-minute sets. But Atlantic City, the Borgata, September 7th. Madison, Wisconsin, September 19th, 20th, and 21st at Comedy on State with Adrienne Appalucci. She'll be at Atlantic City also. She's doing the Degenerates, the new Degenerates, 15 minutes. Then Winnipeg, I don't know who's going to open for that, on the 22nd. Brea, California, 26th, 27th, 28th. Someone good will open. Dallas, October 3rd. Houston, the 4th and the 5th. Anybody got a hookup for 2 Cowboy tickets? Me and the openers, won't be Allison that time. And then that's it, right? And then, like, yeah, Nashville, blah, blah, San Jose, Detroit, Chicago. Oh, Chicago, November 16th. Get tickets now. All the tickets are available at AriShafir.com. And the Patreon, don't forget, patreon.com/skeptictank. Support that, $5, $10, whatever it is. I'll make sure between this feed and the Patreon feed, you get 4 per month. That's the goal. If I go off the grid again after I shoot this special, I mean, I will. I want to travel so bad. I want to get the fuck out of here. When I'm done with the special, I'm going to edit it. I'm leaving. I'm going. I don't know how long. Maybe I'll come back for shit. Maybe I'll come back to go skiing in fucking Denver. Do another storytelling show there. I don't know, but I got to get the fuck out, you guys. Still got my second country this year. But anyway, the point is this. I forgot where I was. It's the fulfillment versus happiness. So when I'm doing a special, that was it. When I'm doing a special, I'm overwhelmed with work. The editing is really tough. And so it doesn't make you happy, but it makes you fulfilled. Like, doing the thing you're doing makes you fulfilled. But it's time-consuming, and it's really difficult and stressful. It really is. So I don't know if happiness is the number one thing we should be going for. I'm not sure about that. But I will tell you, happiness is something to go for. And putting all this shit away for a month, it made me happier. And I'd like to revisit that. I'd like to have these moments of clarity. And you get there, I found, by getting bored and then sitting in your boredom and then wanting out of that boredom so bad that your mind will fill in. It's kind of like when you bomb on stage. you just do anything not to bomb like that again. And it might result in you writing a joke. Because your body's like, I got to figure that out. If you get beat up, you'll probably learn how to fight a little bit. I don't know. It's not my strong suit. Anyway, that's the episode, you guys. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm going to play you out right now with the best I could find. It doesn't record the fucking audience that well. So you can't quite hear it, but I'm telling you. It was 80, 120. I don't know how many people. I don't know. I can't count that many in people. But that amount of people all chanting, I got soul, but I'm not a soldier. Trying to get Brandon Flowers. Trying to get the fucking Killers. Rock and roll band from Las Vegas, Nevada. To start playing again. So, that's it. Hope you guys enjoyed it. I don't think I'm leaving anything out. If you have a suggestion for a really good book, something interesting, please let me know. I'm always in the mood to read, and I assume that Bert will step up and take that challenge against me, against Tom, and against Joe. But if he cowards out, then so be it. I'll still be happy to read a book. Yeah, mental health. That's right. It's not about working out. It's about fucking reading. Mental health. Increase your vocabulary. So long, you guys. Till next time.